and it's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Good morning, geniuses.
You get up on your little 21-inch screen and howl about America and democracy. There is no America. There is no democracy. There is only IBM and ITT and AT&T and DuPont, Dow, Union Carbide,
yeah,
and Exxon.
Yes.
Those are the nations of the world today.
There you go. That's it. How are you, working class heroes, poets, prophets, all you folks out there? Good morning. It's Mark Maron here. I'm with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Are you getting it in both ears? We got our headsets on. I only got one ear on.
I only got one ear, but now I'm not hearing you talking. I'm getting it in both ears.
As long as we're both having the same experience and I don't have a tumor, well, it makes me feel better. If it's just a technical problem, I can live with that.
Lord.
I was the only one getting it in one ear, man. I would be worried.
Now, Maron.
Yes, sir.
You're disrupting my household again, pal.
Oh, boy.
Here I am, settling down to watch a little NFL football.
And
there's that damn Sprint commercial again, and my daughter jumping up and down saying, "That's Mark Maron!"
Dude, I've been getting some email about it. I heard it ran during the enemies? Same thing. enemies. I want it. Where's my money? All right, Sprint, I don't know how this works, but where's my money? I want my money. I don't know. I don't know what's happening with that. Yeah, I mean, they're running it a lot. I've never done a commercial before. That one came out of nowhere. I was in Austin, Texas, on stage in front of 12 people, Mark. I swear to God, there was nobody there. And there was two Hollywood-y-looking women there. And I do my show, and afterwards they come up to me and they say, I'm Barbara Kopel, and I'm a filmmaker, documentary filmmaker. She won an Oscar for Harlan County.
Oh, wow.
She did Wild Man Blues, the Woody Allen documentary. And she goes, "Do you do commercials?" I'm like, "Generally, I don't. I don't want to get behind something that I don't know. I don't want to get behind something I can't believe in. I don't want to look stupid or whatever." And she goes, "It's for Sprint." And I said, "Well, you know, I have Sprint. So I get, I've had it for a long time."
Sold!
Yeah, well, no, so I went in, and the next day they're like, "Well, we think you're brilliant, we think you're funny, we saw you in the paper, you saw your face, we got this role, blah, blah, blah." And I go, "Okay, I'll come in tomorrow." And I read for it, and they booked me on it. And there's some interesting stories about the shooting of that commercial that I will share one day when I know that I can. I know I signed something that said I couldn't talk about the shooting per se. But
really?
There's just some interesting moments with me because I don't have kids and I had to deal with kids and I was not particularly graceful in dealing with the kids. But
hey, come here, you little.
It was sort of like that. But I guess, you know, I'm curious to see how much money actually comes in from that, because it was actually, I don't mind the commercial. The kid was kind of funny. I think that I was funny enough, and you know, I've never been exposed in that way.
You know what's going to happen to you?
Yeah.
You're going to be sitting around one day thinking, "Damn, boy, I need a little bit of money for this. I need a little," and all of a sudden you're going to get a royal, you know, a check for like 15, 20 grand.
That'd be fine with me. I mean, and the fact is like, I guess, I don't feel like I'm being hypocritical in any way. And some people are like, "Did you sell out, man? Are you a sellout? Why would you be a shill for Sprint?" I don't know. How about health insurance? Is that a bad reason? I mean, it's interesting to me as a comic or as somebody who speaks a certain amount of truth or who does a specific type of comedy that I do, when you do something like that, you get those people out there that are like, "Oh, Maron's gone, man. He sold out." Like, in comics as well. You know, they really expect you to, you know, to be out there, you know, starving and being angry for their issues. You know, that you can be their hate puppet. You can be their guy in the trenches. But I got to be honest with you. You get to a certain age where it's sort of like, "Hey, maybe I wouldn't mind getting my teeth worked on for, you know, a reasonable amount of money.
Yeah.
Maybe I wouldn't want to pay out of pocket to make sure my prostate's okay." So, you know, whoever I disappointed in doing this commercial, I want you to know that I got a clean bill of health and my teeth are clean and
there
it wasn't
you go.
Out of pocket.
There you go.
Also, you know, what else is going on? I guess I should give you a cat update.
Yes.
Because it's the 6 o'clock hour.
That's not the reason.
At 6 o'clock hour is where we have the general conversations before I start seething. I've seethed at 6 o'clock, but you know, I did yesterday? I went running outside, which was pretty, I'm trying to convince myself, was a great thing, so I'll do it again. This is a great time of year, the fall, to go out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I put on my magic shoes. Do you have magic shoes, Riley?
I just got a pair.
Okay.
I just got a pair the other day.
You know what magic shoes are? They're the ones that guilt you into going to the gym.
Yeah.
They're the new shoes you buy with the agenda. It's like, hey, man, if I buy these shoes, I'm going to go running because these are new, good running shoes.
And they feel like you're flying in them, right?
Yeah,
they make you feel like, whoa, I could do this.
I put on the magic shoes. I went out to the track at Astoria Park, and I did the big 4.5-mile run. And, you know, I tell you, that first mile and a half, I'm just sort of like, this is ridiculous. There's no point to this. I'm going to die anyways. What the hell is the point of this? And I did it, and now I'm convincing myself that it was a great thing.
That was yesterday, right?
Wonderful to go running outside.
Not Saturday when we had like 25 inches of rain.
Saturday, what did I do? I've got these three cats in a cage. I got the one in my office, and I got that woman who's going to come over and inoculate my cat. She's supposed to come over today, but I got two traps now to trap the mother and the other kitten, right? So yesterday, I go out, this woman, Raquel, who's going to come over today and inoculate my cats, but she said she was going to go get some tomorrow or today. Today is her day to get cats fixed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's got this deal, you know, she's subsidized by the city or whatever. So she said, why don't you try and trap the mother on Sunday? And I'm like, all right, fine. You know, so I put two traps out and I trapped the kitten. You know what I mean?
Oh, wow.
And I bring the kitten into my house. I'm like, I don't need another kitten in my house. All of a sudden, my personal issues really overrode my charitable heart.
Your humanitarian.
Yeah, I was like, I don't need another cat crapping in my house. I don't need, you know, what do I need this for? You know, now I got this kitten in a cage and it hates me, and I've already got three cats that hate me that are starting to like me. And like, I just freaked out because the mother's the real issue, right? So I go out, and after 3 hours having this cat in a trap in my hallway, I go let it back out. I'm like, I don't feel it.
You didn't.
So I let the cat back out, and I called her. I called Raquel. I said, look, I tried to trap the mother. I couldn't. I got the kitten, but, you know, I didn't know what to do with it, so I let it back out. And now all of a sudden, now I'm in this loop with her. Like, she calls me back. She's like, I really hope that you did not let that kitten back out. In this tone of voice where I'm like, oh, my God. You know what I mean? And I talked to her, and she's like, did you let it out? And I'm like, yeah, I let it out. And she's like,
dare you?
Basically, like, you know, well, you're never going to be able to catch it again. I was going to bring it. I was going to fix it. We're going to take care of some of this. And, like, this whole idea of, you know, trapping the mother on your time frame is ridiculous. And all of a sudden, I felt like one of those bourgeois, you know, sort of like boutique issue persons where I'm like, I wanted to trap the cats, help them out so I could stop the population, but all of a sudden I'm like, well, you know what, I got my four kittens to worry about, you know, I can't really be bothered with the mother who might be pregnant again, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
And then she made me feel horrendously guilty, and then she goes, I want you to go out there, this was last night before I went to bed at like 4 or
I want you to go out there?
She goes, you need to go out there and set those traps again before you go to bed, and then you call me in the middle of the night if you have to tell me if you caught anything, so I will come by there and pick up the cat, you know, in the morning and bring it to be fixed. And I'm like, but I can't. She's like, I really think you need to go set. And I'm like, but I can't. I need. So now I've already taken a shower and gotten ready for bed at like 8 o'clock. So now I got to go out with these stinky sardines and reset these traps. And I did it, of course, because I'm a wuss. All right, so I went out there and I reset the traps. And sure enough, at 2:30 in the morning, the dumb kitten was back in the trap. And, you know, and she's going to come by. I had to go leave her the key at the deli, and she's going to come by and get the kitten, and maybe the mother will be in the other trap. But, look, you know, I think I go on too long about this. And I wonder.
Wait, I got a question.
Yeah.
Isn't this the same woman who said she was burnt out and wasn't going to keep doing this anymore?
She's retiring in October, but, you know, I'm like her last client. And if we can get the mother done and we can get this one kitten done, I'll be happy. And I don't know if the mother got caught or not, but, you know, she's supposed to come by. And I'm happy about it all, and I'm grateful to her, and I'm not making fun of her. But, boy, it made me feel really bad because I'm waking up. I'm like, oh, I hope I caught that kitten again, because if I didn't, she's going to be mad at me. And, you know, so thank God I got the kitten again. At least I'm vindicated on that level. The other thing I want to talk about as we move on, Mark Riley, is I got an email, you know, from a guy, and we've dealt with this before. You know, I made a comment. I said, I'm fascinated. I said this last week at some point about people who support Bush. I said, it fascinates me that people will follow a guy who's committed to a lie, as opposed to, you know, follow a guy who has changed his mind in the face of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, and of course, what I got was these emails sort of like, hey, dude, you can't say changed his mind. You can't talk about Kerry like that.
You're off message.
Changing his mind. Right. Like, it's our job. You know, I'm completely behind Kerry. I'm going to vote for Kerry. I encourage people to register and vote for Kerry. But, you know, the truth of the matter is like, maybe you misunderstood something, and maybe you should check yourself, because the reason this guy is so interesting is essentially that when he got back from Vietnam, he changed his mind about how he felt about the war, and chose to take the leaders that were sending men into war to task. That is a mind-changing based on wisdom, based on experience, based on true feelings for humanity, and it is at the core of what this guy's about. So for you to misunderstand that or think that I can't talk about that, you know, is a real, you know, it's a real problem for the liberal base, for the Democratic base, to not realize that when a human being changes his mind, he does it because he's been provided evidence that makes it, you know, a rational thing to do. We have a president that is stubborn, that is spoiled, that is belligerent, that is refuses to take responsibility for any of his mistakes, that surrounds himself with yes men, and people think that strength and really deliberation, diplomacy, and thinking about things in a rational way is what makes human beings terrific. It's what makes human beings interesting. It's what makes people, you know, want to believe in something. Now, the fact of the matter that this guy is so belligerent, and this will lead us into what we want to talk about today, I think that if you have a conversation with a Republican or a conservative, you should always open it like this. If you're going to argue with a conservative or you're going to, you know, listen to them reel off their ridiculous talking points in support of a liar, what you should always say is, look, just like, you know, before they talk, just reach out to them, look them right in the eye and go, look, I understand that you're frightened. All right, just always start any conversation with a conservative. I understand that you have a deep need for someone to take care of you because of whatever you went through as a child. That tough love makes it feel like somebody's taking care of you. But, you know, your denial and your belligerence is leading this country into the toilet. So just, you know, think that through. And just look at them like a scared cat. I'm learning a lot from my cats because I'm not innately political. But just look at them and say, look, I know you're scared and it's hard. It's hard not to just believe in the bully. But I know you're scared. And now, thank God, some Republicans are starting to criticize Bush, and we're going to go right into that when we come back. Right, Riley?
Absolutely.
All right, 17 past the hour, Air America Radio.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
Sirius NFL Radio, Channel 124, is all football all the time. Hear breaking NFL news and scores 24 hours a day, along with exclusive interviews.
Let's talk football. Let's talk football.
Commentary and analysis from top players and coaches. All-star staff includes Shannon Sharp, Chris Carter, Dan Reeves, John Riggins, and Keyshawn Johnson. When it's the NFL you want, it's the NFL you can't get. NFL Radio, 124.
Want to get your child fired up about playing a sport? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. My wife taught me that it's not a good idea to push your kids into sports. Instead, do things to get them interested. Take them to a tennis match or a baseball game. Then, give them a book or magazine on the sport. Maybe even check out a video from the library. Get excited about the sport yourself and let them enjoy the overall experience. For ideas on how to keep your kids motivated once they do get involved with sports, go to FamilyMinute.net for a free information sheet. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
I don't know.
Peace, love, and fireworks. That's a good one. When we're talking about people losing their lives over maybe starting by popping one pill in or shooting something into your body, it's like, people need to know the truth and know what they're getting themselves into. Because your mind is worth so much more than this. Me personally, I want the truth. You know what I mean? I want to know what's going on. This has been Nate Sally with a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Okay, we're back. It's 20 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hey.
It's Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I was watching Face the Nation yesterday. Very interesting stuff, Mark. Chuck Hagel, the Senator Chuck Hagel from Nebraska, basically said we're losing the war in Iraq because of this guy's judgment.
You know, I'm beginning to wonder exactly what the Republicans got in mind. I mean, it was Hagel. It was John McCain.
McCain was on Fox, though.
Was on Fox. Yeah. I mean, why all of a sudden are all of these prominent Republican senators, Richard Lugar, also, who we talked about at the end of last week, why are they all suddenly saying what we've been saying since, like, what, April?
I've got some ideas. Do you want to listen to him saying it first?
And yeah, let's listen to a couple
conversation?
Of them. Yeah, now, John McCain is taking the Shinseki position, and that is that there are simply the biggest problem in Iraq right now for the United States is a lack of troops. Let's hear the Arizona senator.
We made serious mistakes right after the initial successes by not having enough troops there on the ground, by allowing the looting, by not securing the borders. There was a number of things that we did. Most of it can be traced back to not having sufficient numbers of troops there. In the Fallujah issue, our general in Baghdad said we were going to go in and capture or kill those who were responsible for the deaths of Americans. And we went in, and then we pulled out. As Napoleon said, if you say you're going to take Vienna, you take Vienna.
What do you think? See, I think what's happening is that he's no longer a maverick to me. John McCain is no longer some radical thinker. He's definitely on board. He's definitely doing what he has to do for this president. And I think what's happening is they're starting to send people out to say that, you know, we might have mishandled this a little bit, but it's not a time to question the war. It's a time to realize that the sacrifice we need to make now and get behind it. I think this is all their trickery. This is how they do it. They send one guy out to say it over here, one guy out to say it here. But the one guy that won't say it is the belligerent, smug, spoiled, fake Christian, AWOL, blow monkey, puppet of the Cheney regime's Republican death cult, i.e. President George Bush.
Who should be saying it? It should, what McCain just said, should be coming from Bush. But Bush, of course, says, I don't make any mistakes.
Well, he's too busy pandering to the stupid people that don't need much information. See, there's plenty of people out here that refuse to do any of their homework, or refuse to take in any information other than Fox News, and he wants to make sure that those people hear the lies that he needs them to understand in order to stay, you know, fervently behind them.
Well, now, Bush has a very interesting little dance he's going to have to do this week.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the middle of a re-election battle.
Mm-hmm.
The United Nations General Assembly meets this week. He speaks tomorrow before the General Assembly, which his base, by the way, doesn't even really respect. All right? The base of Bush's support detests the idea of United States cooperation with the United Nations. That's why they've stayed through him through this entire thing. When the UN Security, when it became obvious that the UN Security Council was not going to side with the United States in terms of the war, Bush said, later form, we're going to act unilaterally, and his base cheered. Now he's going back in front of the UN to say essentially, look, we need your help in trying to stabilize Iraq because we are trying to spread freedom throughout the world. Now, this is idiotic and Pollyannish, my judgment.
And Kofi Annan said last week that the war, done the way it's been done unilaterally by the United States, broke international law.
Yeah, and I mean, here you've got people like Richard Lugar talking, quote, this is the incompetence in the administration. Even Lindsey Graham, the former trial lawyer, I might add, who was one of Bush's closest allies, the Republican senator from South Carolina, says he's not buying that the United States has enough troops on the ground in Iraq right now to do the job that Bush wants them to do.
And this was all because Donald Rumsfeld said we can do this with just two jeeps and a bomb.
Well, yeah. Two jeeps and a bomb and some flowers for the Iraqis to throw in the path of the soldiers.
It's all going to work out just fine.
Now, he does have his defenders. McCain's other half in Arizona, Senator John Kyle, says, contrary to what McCain says, that Bush actually did tell the public the truth all along. Let's hear from Senator Kyle.
Well, Senator Kyle, let me just start by asking you, do you believe that the president is talking straight with the American people about what the situation is in Iraq right now?
Absolutely. He began by pointing out to the American people that this would be a very long and very difficult war, and that we were going to have the confidence and the perseverance to see it through. I find it shocking that some people are surprised by the fact that it is a long and difficult conflict.
You know, this is another trick that this guy's doing. This is another tricky way of saying that Iraq and terrorism were somehow connected previous to the war, previous to the unilateral decision to, you know, destroy Iraq. And that's a lie, because what Bush did say was that the war on terror is an open-ended war that could go on forever.
Mm-hmm.
That was the design of it, that we are going to be in a state of perpetual war. I think what the assumption was with Iraq, whether he stated it or not, I'm not clear on, but I'm pretty sure, was that we're going to go in, we're going to take care of this, we're going to be celebrated, we're going to be received by the Iraqi people, we are going to be liberators, and it's going to go off like, you know, like that. Bing, bang, boom.
Yeah, and that, because that was the neoconservative picture, that little cabal within the administration.
The Republican death cult?
Yes.
Yeah.
They painted this picture that said that Iraq will be the test case.
Yeah.
And then we'll deal with Iran, then we'll deal with Syria, and we will deal with all of these places as a means, in part, to secure Israel's situation in the region.
But that was sort of a lie, wasn't it? Isn't it turning out that this was some sort of like weird free market experiment? They were just going to divvy up the country, put out all these reconstruction contracts, military contracts, set up a base there, that really what they were doing, the Wolfowitz Pearl and the ideologues of the neocon movement, was to do this, free market utopia.
Well, yeah, to set up a free market utopia, which could be translated in English as taking care of their friends.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Associates. And themselves.
Yeah.
To some extent. Because Cheney, when that blind trust runs out, hopefully in November, he'll end up with a little bit more money in his pocket because of the dealings of Halliburton over there. Remember that there have been people in Iraq who've been working for Halliburton who have already confessed to skimming money. This was months ago, for God's sake.
Yeah, but if Tucker Carlson would say, yeah, Halliburton. Halliburton's very important. It's very important that we understand that this administration is aligned with these business interests. And also, it's very exciting to me that Kerry is starting to at least link the Iraq war to, you know, some of our domestic problems here economically.
Yeah, and that is extremely important. And see, this administration, despite its, you know, because Bush is going to stay the course on Iraq. I mean, he's not going to listen to what McCain and these people are saying. He's essentially going to go out and say this week, look, we did the right thing, we're doing the right thing, et cetera. But on the down low, Time magazine is now saying that America has initiated backdoor conversations with Syria. Number two on the list.
And
can
also,
you imagine this?
Yeah, I can imagine. We'll talk about that later. But, you know, three Kurd hostages were beheaded. They've got like 18. They've got an entire force of Iraqis hostage over there. We're gonna talk to
Mick Ware, Time Magazine's Baghdad bureau chief, about that very subject, along with the president's palm pilot and the liberal agenda, coming up on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dihydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. CBS News is ready to announce this morning that the documents they received on President Bush's military record 30 years ago were fake. Network had been standing by this story for the better part of a week. A full explanation is expected later. The issue has dominated the campaign news over the last couple of weeks. Both President Bush and the man who wants to his job, John Kerry, are in New York for an all-important fundraiser tonight. Both will be within one city block of each other, seeking financial help from their supporters. New York has been a goldmine for both candidates. The political pundits say the list of battleground states has now whittled down to a dozen, but they add three megastates, including Florida, could make the difference in the tight contest for the presidency. And Nebraska Republican Senator Chuck Hagel said it last week during an appearance before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee and told television's Face the Nation yesterday that he does not think the Bush administration winning the war in Iraq. Wayne Gilman, Air America, Radio News.
Hey, Jimmy, what's up?
Hey, man, turn on 24th. Vince Scales is on.
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot. I gotta call Sally. Hello?
Hey, Sally. Vince Scales is on Serious Disorder 24.
Oh, I know. I got it on. He just played some Tom Waits, then into a Lou Reed tune. It was great. Oh, listen, I gotta call Jim.
Hey, Sally. Yeah, I know why you're calling. I've got Vin on right now.
Could you catch that interview with Suzanne Vega?
Vince Scales' Idiot's Delight. Freeform radio at its finest. Turn a friend on. Sunday nights at 8 Eastern on Serious Disorder 24.
Hey, this is Dave Ramsey, and this is your Daily Money Makeover. Blake is getting married and wants the order of his financial attack. My advice next.
Federal college loan rates are now at their lowest levels in history. So if you currently have high-interest student loans, it's time to refinance. Just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. With one call, you could be on your way to saving thousands. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE.
Blake needs a financial game plan.
So I have an engagement ring that's going to happen. I plan on buying a new car over the next year, and I'm hoping to get into a new house by the end of next year as well.
Wow, how much do you make a year?
Between the two of us, we write around $90K a year.
How much do you have in savings?
$2,500 at this time.
And how much are you going to spend on the ring?
Probably about $2,300.
And so we got some savings to do before we buy a nice used car, right?
Yeah, you'll see, that's one of our problems is we tend to spend like drunken sailors.
Well, dude, I mean, if you're going to work and make $100,000, you ought to have something to show for it more than a big bunch of payments. That's what this show's about every day, is getting control of your most powerful wealth-building tool, which is your income. I want you to have a nice car. I just don't want to have you. I think I'd probably walk right up the schedule you gave me, and I'd do ring, then cash for a decent car, move up in car, and then start saving, have an emergency fund in place, and about a year after we're married, we start talking about a down payment on a house.
This has been your Daily Money Makeover with best-selling author and America's most trusted source for financial straight talk, Dave Ramsey.
Fire truck!
Hey, John... John Kerry, John Firetruck Kerry, kicking some ass. Right now it's 33 past the hour. Mark Maron, that's Mark Riley. It's Morning's Edition on Air America Radio.
Yep.
We're having a Monday morning. Thank you, Ramon. Take it easy. Sunday, hey, buddy, can we get you on the mic? Dude. Nothing. We got to get him on the mic. Well, he just dropped off the president's Palm Pilot. It's, of course, he looks like he's been up for a week, man. I don't know. It's bad. It's bad. He looks like he hasn't eaten. Anyways, here we go. Here's the president's schedule for today. 8 a.m. Wake up. Stay on message. Elections can't be bought. Polls, however. 11 a.m. Attend rally. Derry, New Hampshire. No, find out if this is spelled D-E-R-R-Y or D-A-I-R-Y. If it's the latter, speak out against liberal lactose intolerance. 12 noon, go to New York. Note, double Secret Service detail. The place won't be full of Republicans this time. 1 p.m. Find out where Kofi Annan parks his limo at the UN. Park there. 2 p.m. Attend fundraiser. Note, if anyone mentions the money for 9/11 that we promised New York City and still haven't given them, just shrug and tell them it's hurricane season. 4 p.m. Rehearse speech at the United Nations. Note, these people won't be charmed by mispronouncing nuclear. 11:30 p.m. Watch Kerry on Letterman. Note, must not have self-deprecation gap. 12 midnight bedtime. First make panic call to Bruce Belanche for possible appearance on Leno. Fire Jeff Ross. End quote. There you go. What did I end the quote for? I didn't even have a quote. Man, am I happy to talk to Mick. All right, here we go. This is one of my favorite guests. He's joining us by phone with the latest news from Iraq. He's Time Magazine's Baghdad Bureau Chief. Well, good morning, Michael Ware. How are you?
good morning, Mark. Great, thank you.
Good, yeah. So you
things considered.
Kidding, all things considered. Now, Republicans are even starting to say it's out of control. There, by all indications, it's out of control. You've been in Baghdad for a long time. How would you characterize the last several weeks, Mick?
Well, it's been out of control for a long time here, and I'm glad to see it's finally seeping through. But if things could possibly get worse, then they slowly have in. I mean, every so many months, I get to take a break. I get to take a couple of weeks where I get to leave Iraq. Each time I come back, within this period of 2 weeks or 3 weeks, I can notice an incremental decline.
Uh-huh.
And it's happened again. I mean, we've always gone to great lengths to explore the story as much as we can by physically going out and meeting people. I can tell you now, it is rare that I'm able to leave this compound. It's become that dire. Going to the supermarket is a real ordeal. You know that insurgents are watching the supermarkets friendly to foreigners, and that they're picking up notes on you. They could be following you home. They may try to intercept you at the traffic light. At the same time, Iraqis are going through a living hell right now. I mean, they have been in a position where they're battering down the hatches. And this is just ordinary, everyday Iraqis whose quality of life has just been gently ebbing away each day.
Mick, the United States is reportedly training Iraqis to handle security. I know that there are 32,000 Iraqi police officers that haven't yet been fully trained, but the United States is talking about having 200,000 Iraqis working security by the beginning of next year before elections. Is that optimistic? Can that happen?
Well, that's really optimistic. I mean, honestly, they're churning out recruits and new graduates for the Iraqi National Guard, for the police, the entire Iraqi security apparatus. But it's just, honestly, it's not window dressing by any means, because some of these guys are going out there to prove themselves. But as to whether these guys are effective in terms of the equipment they've got, the reach they've got, the organization they've got, and half the time the will that they have, is another matter entirely. And what we're seeing here now in Iraq is almost a switch in U.S. strategy on this. Yes, they're desperately trying to build up the new Iraqi security services so that they can take over. And in the front, and U.S. forces just being there to assist. Well, now we're seeing U.S. forces turn around and say, no, it's time for us to take the lead for a while. We're starting to see the U.S. forces either actively beginning to take on the insurgents in their stronghold or talking it up more as their target. So it's like the American military has decided to step forward again and lead the way.
So what if the American military goes in and hammers on Fallujah, disregards the Islamic shrines there? I mean, what do you think would be the outcome of that if they come at it with more force?
Okay, if, for example, they go into Fallujah, the Marines have been itching to do this since April. I mean, the Marines have never recovered from the fact that there they were surrounding the city, able to, ready to push inside, and they were pulled back. And since that time, they've seen a lot of their men die in a constant drip-feed of attacks, so they're itching to go in. Now, they can go in and they can retake that city, but if they do that, we need to be ready for a number of things. One is, people are really going to get hurt, and a frightening number of Iraqi civilians will get hurt, and there's going to be a lot of U.S. Marines getting hurt as well. The other thing is, if we want to go into that city, then we've got to be prepared to all but destroy it and to bear whatever political cost comes with that. The other thing we must be prepared to accept is, even if we raise that place, like the Russians did in Grozny and Chechnya, even if that's what happens, then know that you will not have stopped the enemy, because the enemy will have dispersed. It's very hard. I mean, I was talking to a senior American general here about just this very problem on the weekend, or just before the weekend, and he was saying to me, it's like trying to hold water in your hand, which just slips through your fingers.
Incredible.
So, yeah, let's go attack Fallujah, but be ready for what it's going to cost.
Now, Mick, is the work of these insurgents largely the work of al-Zarqawi, or are there other people, other groups of people who aren't necessarily loyal to him that are also involved in this insurgency?
Absolutely. Look, in fact, Zarqawi is the pinup boy of this insurgency, certainly to the global jihadists, to like, you know, the Al-Qaeda camp. He is their rising star from here. And because of the high-profile, sensational nature of his terrorist strikes, he grabs most of the media attention. But the truth is, he and his men are only a small fraction of the fight here. The vast bulk of the fight, the daily drip-feed of attacks on U.S. convoys, of firefights with U.S. troops, is by Iraqi groups. And most of these Iraqi groups are what I consider nationalist groups. They're like nationalist guerrillas fighting to free Iraq. Yeah, they're wrapped up in a bit of, you know, Islamic motivation, and that's certainly the way they like to present themselves, and that's certainly the way they talk, but their end goal, their tactics, what it is that they are trying to do is about liberating their country.
Right.
Zarqawi, the jihadists, are starting a greater war, a holy war, and they want to create a Taliban-like state. So the bulk of the people who are fighting here, that's not what they're looking for, and they're not following Zarqawi. But this is creating huge problems within the resistance, as you can imagine, these sorts of frictions.
All right, we'll talk about that in a minute, Mick. I'm reading your article in Time Magazine now. The article is The Enemy with Many Faces, and this week's Time, we're going to talk about infighting within the insurgency with Mick Ware. When we come back, it's 41 past the hour, Air America Radio.
NFL Radio, Channel 124, is all football all the time. Hear breaking NFL news and scores 24 hours a day, along with exclusive interviews.
Let's talk football.
Commentary and analysis from top players and coaches. All-star staff includes Shannon Sharp, Chris Carter, Tim Reeves, John Riggins, and Keyshawn Johnson. When it's the NFL you want, it's the NFL you can't get. NFL Radio, 124.
Has someone offended you? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. If a family member, friend, coworker, or even a boss has said or done something to upset you, what should you do? Tell other people? Well, no. You need to go to that person and gently let them know how they've hurt you. If they don't respond, bring along one or two other people and approach them again. In doing all this, be sure you're coming to them with clean hands, without any grudges of your own. When you work for unity in your relationships, you'll be amazed at the results. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Son, I want you to listen very carefully. Now, if you're ever at a party and someone asks you if you'd like to shove a stick of dynamite up your rear end, don't do it. Dynamite is very, very dangerous.
Got it, Dad.
It'd be nice if teenagers thought that using the drug ecstasy was as dangerous as, say, sticking dynamite up their rear ends. And that it can cause panic attacks, severe depression, kidney failure, heart failure, seizures, even death. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Community groups do so much, especially helping to keep kids away from drugs. But do you know there's a way to make community groups stronger? It's called a community coalition. Community coalitions help local groups get together and get more done. Find out how your group can get involved at HelpYourCommunity.org. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be an optimist.
A what?
An optimist.
My dad is one, and he says optimists help kids. He says they have all sorts of activities and programs for kids. Things that help kids feel good about themselves. Dad says they have sports programs, safety programs, and things that are just fun. So, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Well, I kind of wanted to be a rock star, but now I think I might want to be an optimist too.
Hi, Hi, folks. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Air America Radio.
How Hi, folks.
It's a morning sedition. It's 44 past the hour. On the phone is Time Magazine's Baghdad Bureau Chief Mick Ware. Mick, you've characterized the insurgency as being, you know, split up between, you know, Islamic terrorists, basically Islamists. We've also got, you know, I guess nationalists, which would be a lot of the old Baathist types. And then you also have al-Sadr's type of person, which is the people that are fighting for a Shia contingent within the government there. What are some of the fractions? What are some of the points of contention within all the different factions of the insurgency?
Well, generally it comes down to a couple of key things. One is the end goal. I mean, the jihadists, you know, they want to recreate the Taliban. They call
right.
it, you know, the one true Islamic regime with the Taliban in Afghanistan. That's what they want. A lot of the nationalists, that's not what they want. I mean, the nationalists who are fighting to avoid being marginalized in this insurgency. I mean, the jihadists have the whip hand. They're the best funded, the best organized. They're the ones capturing the attention. To avoid being marginalized, the nationalists are now forming together in like a council or creating a peak organization.
So
this process of creating this, it's like a conference.
Right.
The stage you're at the moment is they're talking about what kind of a state do they want to create after the Americans leave.
So they're looking
That's
for
re- at the moment.
Are
That's
they,
one of the key differences.
Are they looking for representation within the government that's unfolding now, or are they trying to put an entirely different government in place of this, what they're seeing as an occupational government?
They don't accept the legitimacy of the Iraqi government as it exists now in its current form. They say that it's being put together, essentially, propped up entirely by a foreign entity, by a foreign power. So for these forthcoming elections, if in fact the miracle occurs and these elections can be held in January, which seems most unlikely, then these guys say, we're not going to participate. They're creating a political party. It's going to be akin to what happened in Northern Ireland. They're going to have a military wing like the IRA, and they're creating their own Sinn Féin. Now, their version of Sinn Féin is going to sit on the sidelines and watch this electoral process. They're not going to engage in it. It's tainted by the foreign occupier. But they say, if a government emerges from that election, and that government shows real signs of moving away from the occupier, and of getting the occupier out of the country, then they will engage at that point.
Is there,
so
is,
they've become very politically pragmatic.
Okay, is al-Sadr's group part of this?
Nationally, yes. These guys say that they're at least inviting Muqtada al-Sadr's people to the table. They're not inviting other Shiite militia groups from southern Iraq. And it's only a slim chance that Muqtada would either agree to be involved in this dialogue or would actually make it through to the very end. I think it's more of a token gesture than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fascinating that they would even contemplate including a Shia element in this.
Our guest is Michael Ware. He is Time Magazine's Baghdad Bureau Chief. The name of this week's article, the article that he wrote in this week's magazine, The Enemy with Many Faces. Mick, how is it going to play out in Iraq? And I'm assuming that the news has reached there already, that the United States has instituted backdoor conversations with Syria in trying to form some kind of a military-to-military alliance that would seek to stabilize the situation inside Iraq.
Well, look, you know, I think that's something that has to be done. You know, there has to be some kind of military-to-military dialogue or engagement with the Syrians. I mean, that's essentially what's happened, you know, with Pakistan. From a rogue state, it had to become a very close ally. Syria does have to be engaged. Just, we must obviously be extremely vigilant about that relationship. I mean, it's very difficult to discuss, but it is well conceded by everyone from the U.S. military intelligence and Iraqi intelligence services that Syrian intelligence is heavily involved in Iraq and is heavily involved within the insurgency. So really, we're dealing with a multi-headed beast if we're talking about engaging with Syria.
Mick, how are the Syrians involved? They are involved now on behalf of the insurgents?
I mean, obviously this is very difficult to discuss, but I think it's safe to assume, as both Iraqi and U.S. intelligence concedes privately, Syrian intelligence officers are in the Western insurgent strongholds. Safe passage is provided officially or most likely unofficially through Syria. A lot of men and logistics pass in and out of Syria. There's a lot of tribal connections. I'm sure that this is not officially sanctioned by Damascus. And the only question would be whether the Syrian agencies that enable, facilitate, or simply acquiesce to this, whether they're acting with the awareness of the government, or whether they're acting, you know, alone, independently, or whether there's a willing blindness by Damascus. They're the real questions. The fact is not in dispute.
Mm. So you're saying that the same tribal loyalties that may override the Iraqis National Guard's ability to really enforce certain areas is also going to occur with the Syrians as well?
Absolutely. I mean, I've got strong, you know, Iraqi insurgents from, say, the Saddam hometown to Crete,
yeah,
or north of there in Beijing, or from Mosul. They've got cousins directly across the border in Syria. Many of them go to Damascus for holidays.
Right.
There's been long time close connections. And if there's, say, a death in the family, then one side will travel to Syria to attend the funeral, or the other side will come to Iraq. I mean, that's not, there's a rich social tapestry there.
Yeah, yeah.
To have a security overlay that manipulates that, really, is that a surprise?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Thanks a lot, Mick Ware. It's really great talking to you.
Appreciate it, as always, Mick.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, right. Bye-bye. That was Michael Ware. His new article, The Enemy with Many Faces, appears in this week's Time magazine. One of the most informed guys,
yes,
in terms of the insurgents, because he runs with them occasionally. We'll be back with the liberal agenda after this. It's 51 past the hour, Air America Radio.
Planet Check.
Illegal development in Rincon. Mondo condo equals beach bummer. Chad Nelson, environmental director for Surfrider, explains.
The developer's building a condominium complex below the high tide line and has been given permits illegally because they did not do the proper public notification and public participation allowing the community to comment.
This land development will affect the quality and habitat in the water at Sandy Beach in Puerto Rico, resulting in a loss of beach.
Oftentimes, the developer later on will have to build some sort of seawall to protect it from the waves. This project's also going to limit public access. We see this as a really unfortunate project, which we're challenging it legally and hopefully will prevail.
Help protect this special place online.
Surfrider.org/Rincon.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Cliff Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
Hey, Jimmy, what's up?
Hey, man, turn on 24th. Vince Scales is on.
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot. I got to call Sally. Hello?
Hey, Sally. Vince Scales is on Sirius Disorder 24.
Oh, I know. I got it on. He just played some Tom Waits, then into a Lou Reed tune. It was great. Oh, listen, I got to call Sam.
Hey, Sally. Yeah, I know why you're calling. I've got Vin on right now.
Did you catch that interview with Suzanne Vega?
Vince Scales is Idiot's Delight. Freeform radio at its finest. Turn a friend on. Sunday nights at 8 Eastern on Sirius Disorder 24.
They're in your bathroom cabinet, under the kitchen sink, in your garage. They're ordinary household products that kids as young as 10 sniff to get high. What these kids don't know is that sniffing can cause instant death. Talk to your kids. Know where they're going, who they're with, and what they're doing. If you know what your kids are up to, they're much less likely to sniff inhalants. Awareness. The anti-drug.
Drop off the kids, run by the bank, pick up dinner, save the year. It's amazing what a mom can accomplish in an afternoon. It's called trip chaining, or combining errands into one trip. It saves time and reduces traffic congestion and pollution, making our towns a better place to live. So keep it up, because it all adds up to cleaner air. Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the EPA.
Since Hurricane Charley slammed into Florida on August 13th, the Red Cross has provided refuge to nearly 286,000 residents, served more than 5.6 million meals, and offered mental health services to more than 23,500 disaster victims. All American Red Cross disaster assistance is made possible by voluntary donations of time and money from the American people. Help the victims of the recent hurricanes by making a financial gift to the American Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund and calling 1-800-HELP-NOW.
Yeah, it's 55 past the hour.
And you have meddled with the primal forces of nature. And you will atone.
Yes, that is, of course, in the movie Network, which Randy Rhoads talks about frequently. We've been talking about. We actually lifted some sound from it so we could enjoy it. One of the great performances, Ned Beatty, as the corporate CEO dude who owns the television stations. Is it Peter Finch? Is that his name? Peter Finch.
Peter Finch, yeah.
Got a posthumous Oscar for that. But it's just a great scene because he sets up the whole scene by saying he was a salesman. He started selling brushes, and now he's a CEO guy. In the middle of this Jeremiah ad, I guess it was called, he checks in with Peter Finch, who's on the end. He checks in with him. What's his Beal? Yeah, Howard Beal. He checks in with him in the middle of his pitch and goes, "Am I getting through to you?" You know, like, it was just this genius moment of salesmanship. Anyways, Mick Ware basically characterizing the insurgency as a group of nationalists who are really trying to put together a government that they see will take the place of this government, which they see as a puppet government to the United States occupation, if that government, the puppet government, does not facilitate real change for the Iraqi people.
Well, they're not going to facilitate real change for the Iraqi people. And on some level, you wonder the extent to which these insurgents are of one mind. And I think Mick kind of went with this a little bit. They're not all of one mind about what kind of government they want to see replace it. Some want to see an Islamist government, a Taliban-like government.
I think what you see is a lot of not dissimilar to what we saw at the Republican National Convention. Is that you have a lot of people from different points of view, you know, all working with the same fear and anger that, you know,
yep.
and each one is accommodated. So, you know, it all becomes this one giant momentum of all this different type of hostility and reactionary behavior. You know, and obviously, you know, the insurgents are extreme, but they're all going to operate together until, you know, it starts to break apart within itself. And then ultimately, it sounds like there really is nowhere else to go but civil war.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, Alawi is in town this week. He just spoke with Tony Blair, I believe, over the weekend in London.
Mm-hmm.
What is he going to come back to the table with? How many countries at the United Nations are prepared to recognize his government as legitimate?
And Tony Blair, they're pulling out like almost a third of their forces there, or if not more. That's some big stuff. Here's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Here are your marching orders for today. Write them down. One, give your children Play-Doh and tell them to sculpt what the Iraq War means to you. Two, condemn Britney Spears' marriage to dancer Kevin Federline as gay bashing. Three, ask Iraqi insurgents to use only hybrid energy vehicles for car bombs. Four, raise money for Southern poetry zines who missed deadlines because of the recent hurricanes. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation, quote, here are my Emmy Awards, best comedy, the 9/11 hearings. Yeah, you heard me. End quote. What do we got next hour there, Riley?
In the next hour of Morning Sedition, pollster Anna Greenberg, Mark Maron's Dream Diary, the Monday job listing, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and so much more. When we come back, here on Air America Radio.
Floods and flash floods can strike almost anywhere. Many people don't know that the severe damage to homes and property caused by floodwaters is not covered by homeowners insurance. Protect yourself and your family from catastrophic financial loss due to flood damage. Learn more about the National Flood Insurance Program by calling 1-800-427-4661. 1-800-427-4661. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Black people, a stroke doesn't care about your money or status. Know that it could be a stroke if suddenly you have problems speaking or seeing. Maybe one side gets numb or weak. If any of these occur, act immediately. Call 911. This is Kelly Price.
Blacks have a higher occurrence of stroke. Why is that? Call 1-888-4-STROKE or visit www.strokeassociation.org. Time lost is brain lost. A public service message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
I'm hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity.
New way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. CBS News is planning a full explanation later today, but they say their documents and Bush's military record are fake. Some Republican senators are siding with Democrat John Kerry on the issue of Iraq. They're saying the insurgency is in virtual control and Bush is losing the mission he thought was accomplished. Bush administration may be out of step with Syria over ethnic cleansing in Sudan, but reports this morning say they are ready to cut a deal with Syria over policing its borders. This according to the Times magazine. And more young Americans are signing up to vote. Here's what's happening this hour. CBS News is reporting this morning that they're preparing a full explanation for their previous defensive documents on President Bush's military service 30 years ago. Those documents released in a 60 Minutes 2 interview by veteran journalist Dan Rather largely painted a picture that President Bush was given preferential treatment and a free pass to the Texas Air National Guard because his daddy was a ranking Republican congressional figure from Texas. Those documents describe Bush as an arrogant, misguided youth who defied authority and put in his own superiors in a compromising position by ignoring military procedures to curry favor with the political elite at the time. CBS News this morning is now reporting that those documents they obtained were fake. Journalist Dan Rather is in Texas this morning preparing for an interview with the man believed responsible for supplying the network the information on Bush. While CBS is writing an explanation for its actions and what has mushroomed into a major campaign issue over the last 2 weeks, President Bush over the weekend told a New Hampshire newspaper that the American people ought to see those documents and know the truth about his service in the Texas Air National Guard. It marked the first time Bush has addressed directly the controversy around his military service. It also is part of a pattern, some pundits believe, of the president dealing with an issue that could cost him politically in the polls. Nation's chief executive has yet to take on the issue of the rise of insurgency in Iraq. There's been no direct response from the White House, including the Defense Secretary, Secretary of State, on the number of attacks on American soldiers and mounting death toll from the ongoing violence. Time magazine Baghdad Bureau Chief Michael Ware says there's no question that the situation in the capital and elsewhere is well out of hand.
Iraqis are going through a living hell right now. I mean, they have been in a position where they're battering down the hatches. And this is just ordinary, everyday Iraqis whose quality of life has just been gently ebbing away each day.
Journalist Michael Ware of Time magazine as he spoke to Air America's radio's morning's edition this morning from his vantage point in Baghdad, Iraq. John Kerry says there's a common thread between the cost of the war in Iraq and the cost of life for the middle-class Americans here in the United States. Kerry, in the latest campaign commercial, connects the dots between the cost of the war and some of the problems middle-class Americans face trying to survive in a stagnant economy. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
We wanted to do this really cool promo for Stephen Lynch, comedian, songwriter, uber genius, and play a little of his music for you. But unfortunately, this is all we can give you without offending somebody. So if you'd like to hear the uncensored version, you can catch him September 28th as he debuts his new DVD live at the El Rey, live in our studios. Stephen Lynch, offensively on Sirius Raw Dog 147. Comedy. Uncensored.
This is Earth and Sky. Many of you have asked if it's a coincidence that the moon keeps a single face toward Earth.
And no, it's not thought to be just a coincidence. The constant pull of Earth's gravity has slowed down the spinning moon, so now it's in what's called synchronous rotation. In other words, the moon spins once for each of its orbits around Earth, and that's why the moon always keeps a single face turned our way.
Billions of years ago, the moon was spinning faster than it does today, and it was also much closer to Earth. But the Earth's gravity put the brakes on the moon and gradually increased its distance. This happened because Earth pulls one side of the moon more strongly than the other side, and the moon does the same to Earth. Both worlds attempt to stretch each other from the shape of a sphere into more of an egg shape. We see this tidal effect strongly in ocean tides. But the Earth and Moon also raise tides of solid ground on each other.
Because their tidal bulges don't line up exactly between the center of Earth and the Moon, the rotation rates of both worlds have slowed down over time. Now the Moon is locked with one face perpetually turned toward Earth, and the Moon is getting farther away from the Earth at about a foot or 30 centimeters per year.
For more about this topic, come to earthsky.org. With thanks to the National Science Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
A pop quiz for parents with third grade teacher, Mr. Bonner.
Today's quiz will test your general knowledge. 1. Name one Hollywood director. 2. Name one actor from a TV sitcom. 3. Name one comedian. 4. Name one game show host. 5. Name one professional athlete. 6. Name one reality TV show. And one more question worth 100 points. Name one teacher you've met visiting your kid's school.
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school and know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
And you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning's Edition.
Good morning, geniuses. Good morning, babies. Working class heroes, poets and prophets, liberal haters. Haters of conservatives. When I say liberal haters, I don't mean people who hate liberals. I mean liberals who
liberals
hate.
Liberals who hate.
Yeah. Grounded in their boutique issues. You know, it's weird, though, but because I carry a heavy heart in a lot of ways. And you know, what I was starting to think about, though, about Chris Kahlo on the board there. It's like, you know, all these other morning shows, they talk about, you know, no one can say that we don't talk about pussies. I mean, my cats. You understand? My cats.
Oh, he's going right to the edge. He's going right to the edge, Kahlo.
And, like, you know, all my pussy cats, I have 4 pussy cats at home, and I talk about them. And I just think that is an interesting, you know, liberal alternative to the type that they talk about on the other shows.
Kahlo, keep that finger close to the dump button, okay, pal?
I was thinking. Because I will say that my pussycats are all doing, they're doing okay. I trapped one this morning. I'm trying to get the mother. I don't want to go, I already talked about in the 6 o'clock, but they're okay. I want to say hello to the woman who came down to the Comedy Cellar on, I think it was Saturday night, who just came right up to me. I think her name was Marianne or Marion. I'm not sure. But she's like, I listen to you every morning. I came down to see you tonight. You were really funny. I had a great time. How are the cats?
Wow.
You know what I mean? That, I forget just how intimate I get on the air, and that people who listen to me know a lot more about me than I you know.
Care to share.
No, I don't mind. My wife's coming on Thursday.
Oh, great.
Thank God. You know, I haven't seen her in a couple weeks, and I need to see her, Mark Riley. I caught a little bit of flirtation the other night from a woman, you know, and it's weird. When, like, because when I was married the first time, I was not the greatest husband in the world. And, like, this time, I have put my blinders on. I do not flirt. I do not engage on that level. I will not, you know, if I get an email that's suggestive. Well, if I get an email. But it's different intent.
That's right. Sedition at airamericaradio.com, all you email lovers.
But I won't do it. I won't engage, you know. And it was weird when all of a sudden you feel it coming at you and you haven't seen your wife in a little while. It's like, it's a little itchy.
What do you mean by engage?
I mean, I don't even flirt.
Okay.
I really don't even flirt.
You know, some people see that as hard to get.
In a deep... Exactly, the challenge, because, I mean, I don't flirt like I used to, because, like, I used to be, you know, I've changed my ways. You know, I haven't been born again or anything, but I've certainly changed my ways, because I think it's very important that, Like, I'm not sure, like, when I was married the first time, I don't know that I got married for the right reasons, necessarily. I got married because I thought I should.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, and I loved her, you know, and we got along very well, but it didn't work out ultimately. And this, the woman I'm married to now, Mishnah, I'm deeply in love with her, and I have been since the beginning, and I think that's absolutely necessary to guide your conscience. Because I think there's a difference between, you know, being in a marriage that, you know, you may not be really that happy with, or you may not be in love with the person on a core level, then you can find more excuses for yourself to behave badly. But if you're really in love with somebody, that'll check your conscience a little more, you know, because you have more to lose. And,
okay.
And because, you know, also, it's just like, if you don't have the being in love to fall back on, you know, you can become anchorless very quickly.
Well, you're right about that. I went through my doggishness,
mm-hmm.
my dog phase,
mm-hmm.
And I was married during my dog phase.
Sure.
So, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I have been cool for 14 years now.
Yeah.
Because there's a little governor that says, you know, you messed one up already. So why, you know, yeah. why go through it again? Why go through, you know, see, because there's some people who are like, I believe, Mark, are like complete sociopaths when it comes to that kind of thing. They have no remorse. They don't care. They like to be gratified sexually or whatever, and that's what they do.
I think sociopath is maybe extreme. I think maybe we should say they have a tremendous ability to compartmentalize. is the way I've always understood it.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
I guess could be seen as sociopathic, you know, but even when, you know, what happens is if you have that head, and I don't know if it's the same for women, because I read an article recently that many women, that the amount of women that engage sexually outside of their relationships has gone up.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that it is a similar thing, that you put it in this different area. You're like, well, that's nothing. That doesn't mean anything. That's just, that was just relief or release or whatever.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is, what I grew to learn and what I learned during my first marriage is that if you have a conscience, it will become very polluted. And eventually what happens is you no longer, you know, you, very quickly you're no longer in the same relationship that the person you're with is.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
And that you no longer have, the trust has been bankrupted. So once the trust has been bankrupted, if you get lost or your moral compass starts to sway within, you know, just your communication with the person you're with, you're all alone in a very real way.
But you know what ends up being the scariest part of it?
Huh.
Sometimes you end up doing the lying that you have to do to pull that sort of thing off as an intellectual exercise. Once you know you can get away with it. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, you want your cake and you want to eat it too, and then you want some more cake over there and another cake over there, and you know.
Yeah. And then you say, well, hey, if I can, you know, virtually anything short of being caught in bed with somebody, mm-hmm. you can explain your way out of. And once you know you can do that, it becomes a whole day. It becomes an exercise. It
yeah.
becomes, okay, well, then I'll pull excuse number 5 out.
Yeah, yeah. Because
that
yeah.
works. Or I'll pull excuse number 13. Oops, wrong number. But, you know, you just, it becomes something that you become adept at doing, and you just continue doing it.
Yeah, but eventually you can't live with yourself. It's like I learned those lessons. It's a very weird thing to realize that, you know, you can't have everything you want. You can't, you know, that.
You
that,
can't?
No. That part of what defines your character is making choices,
mm-hmm.
you know, to not do something, you know, when you can. And that, you know, those choices, the way you're rewarded is if you go through life as honestly as you possibly can, you're not carrying around all that crazy clutter in your head that makes you doubt yourself, that makes you hate yourself, that makes you wonder if other people know about certain things. It's a horrendous burden.
Or makes you invade other countries.
Exactly. It's a tremendous burden to me maintaining a lot of different lies
yeah.
because it's a full-time job. I mean, if you've got a few lies going, dude, it's going to take up all your day just to make sure. And here I think I'm not a political thinker. You know what I mean? I just realized just now because I'm writing a piece for In These Times. It's a magazine, and I'm talking about my cats, and I'm talking about the Republican National Convention, and I'm talking about, you know, getting a basic understanding of politics by trying to convince 4 stray cats that they need to like me and that I'm what they need. And the truth of the matter is, political thinking is exactly what we're talking about. It's survival mode lying. And, you know, the repercussions of that are exactly what's going on in the Republican Party in terms of, from where I'm looking at it, is that they've got so many lies going on so many different fronts that what's at the core of it is just pure fear. And I think that that's what's at the core of most conservatives, especially the ones that believe blindly in this particular administration, is that they are so frightened, and this administration knows exactly how to exploit that fear to get them to follow them. And I think that you know, we got debates coming up, and I just hope that John Kerry, you know, realize is that Bush is a very smug, a very, you know, capable debater because he's dismissive, he's arrogant, he's belligerent, and he is able to appeal to a certain type of tough love charm of the most ignorant of the people in this country. And, you know, he better be on point. John Kerry better be, you know, tight. He better be crisp.
He's going to have to hit some home runs. But, you know, something you just said struck me because when you talk about fear, when you talk about the idea that on the one hand, people are afraid of the very real threat of terror in this country, but what we've seen, Mark, and this, we saw this in Louisiana, and we're going to get to this later on, we see fear of things that don't even really impact the lives of most people. Fear of gay marriage is not because somebody figures they're going to wake up one day and want to marry their coworker.
Right.
You know
right,
what I'm
right,
saying?
Right, right.
It's fear that society will change in some fundamental way that will, I don't know, I don't even know if they think it's going to impact them directly.
That will disenfranchise them even more than the Republican Party has already that they refuse to acknowledge, is that if they don't have these moral wedge issues to hang on to, they really think that they're going to fall off into an abyss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but believe me, this administration is only holding their line for votes because this administration is more than willing to let them economically drop into abyss. They just know that because they're so, you know, so saturated with fear and rationalization through religion that no matter how far they're falling down because of their policies, they'll be like, but you're our guys.
That's right.
You're going to help us win the moral war against gay people. We'll talk about Jerry Swaggart's reaction.
Jerry. Jerry Springer.
I got to be honest, Swaggart's going to take a hit after this. It's 16 past the hour on Air America Radio. Oh, I'm sorry. I was blogging. Hey, check us out on morningsedition.com where you can blog too.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Stop whining. Analysts say this is just the beginning. Millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. But it's good for the U.S. economy, according to Donahue. Good for the U.S. economy? Are they kidding? These high-tech jobs were supposed to be the jobs of the future. Jobs with good pay and good benefits. Now, millions are at risk. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks that encourage companies to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize so they have strength at the bargaining table when it comes to salary, health care and pension benefits, and working conditions. Learn more at techsunite.org because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age, and proud supporter of Air America.
There he is. I have a Pontiac Grand Am.
Oh.
I started getting this noise. I guess it would be a combination of a flute and a bass drum.
Perfect harmony. Car Talk. Weekends at 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Eastern on NPR Now 106. And noon on Sirius NPR Talk 107.
Want to get your child fired up about playing a sport? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. My wife taught me that it's not a good idea to push your kids into sports. Instead, do things to get them interested. Take them to a tennis match or a baseball game. Then, give them a book or magazine on the sport. Maybe even check out a video from the library. Get excited about the sport yourself and let them enjoy the overall experience. For ideas on how to keep your kids motivated once they do get involved with sports, go to FamilyMinute.net for a free information sheet. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Dinner time in America. For far too many families, that means it's time for ketchup soup. When you've got nothing else to feed hungry mouths, you take boiling water, add half a cup of ketchup, and presto, ketchup soup. Because when kids are hungry enough, they'll eat anything. One in five American children is living with hunger. Sometimes ketchup soup is the best their parents can do. To fight child hunger, call 1-800-FEED-KIDS. The sooner you believe it, the sooner we can end it. Brought to you by the Ad Council, America's Second Harvest, and Feeding Children Better.
19 past the hour. Good morning. It's Mark Maron here on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
It's Air America Radio. Happy anniversary, Linda and Louis Pashman of New Jersey.
Yeah,
35
yeah,
years
yeah.
of marital bliss and the creation of Dan Pashman. Dan Pashman, which was I know it must have been difficult, but he's turned out okay. He's turned out okay. You've got two lovely sons, and Dan Pashman's little brother. We met him at the party.
Howard, right?
Howard's taken some hits over the years, you know.
Yeah.
But Dan Pashman, strong presence in the planet, strong presence here on Air America Radio. Happy anniversary, you two. Here's my dream diary from last night. I'm climbing the stairs of a huge ivory tower that belongs to the Nader supporters. There are wheelchair ramps, too, of course, but I decide to use the stairs. I'm wearing a suit of armor with a donkey on the breastplate, and I'm covered with my own blood, and I smell. But you guessed that already. The Nader camp are lounging around on pillows, sipping their cappuccinos. Exhausted, I drop to one knee. My lords, I have come from the army of Sir John Kerry, fresh from the field of battle. He greatly beseeches your aid in our great struggle. We are in grievous danger and are most desirous of your precious 3-4%, especially now that you're on the ballot in Florida. One sighs and says, oh, you again. We've seen it. Far below the window, the armies of Bush and Kerry are slugging it out, hand to hand. You can hear the clanking of swords and the shrill cry of pundits. The ground is a sloppy morass of mud, blood, and rhetoric. The Nader guy sneers at me and says, why should we join such a catastrophe? There isn't any real difference between Kerry and Bush anyway. I reach for my sword thinking, I might as well kill them one by one. No one would miss them. But then they all turn on me. They're both corporate tools. Who cares? You can't tell me what to do. If you lose, it's your fault. I've already got parents, okay? Jesus, you're pathetic. From here, both sides are just angry little ants. Let them kill each other, then we can start over.
Our principled intellectual argument will eventually change the minds of the heartland.
If it gets too bad, I'll just move to Canada. You deal with it. Look at them. Look at them. Musing over their iced lattes, thinking, if I vote for Nader, it will annoy both my conservative friends and my liberal friends. And once again, the responsibility for the direction of this country goes to someone else. A smug little smile crosses their lips. I'm thinking, I shouldn't beg these people. I won't beg these people. Just as I'm about to go downstairs and slug it out some more, I keel over from loss of blood. I hear someone say, Jesus, are you going to just lay there bleeding on our tapestries? God, that's so typical. Just then an enormous bolt of lightning hits the tower and sends everyone tumbling thousands of feet to a hideous death. But as they fell, you could clearly hear the Naderites cry, but at least we made our point. I woke up and my bed was filled with hazelnut tarts.
Oof.
Deep, man. It's deep stuff. So, in Louisiana, they passed a ban on gay marriage.
Yeah, by a lot. It looks like it's like 78%.
And Jimmy Swaggart pipes in.
Can we disgraced cleric.
Yes. Yeah. Well, these guys never go away. Can we hear what he had to say?
I've never seen a man in my life I wanted to marry. I'm going to be blunt and plain. If one ever looks at me like that, I'm going to kill him and tell God he died. These ridiculous, utterly absurd district attorneys and judges and state Congress. Well, we don't know. They ought to have to marry a pig and live with them forever. And I thank God that President Bush has stated... We need a constitutional amendment that states that marriage is between a man and a woman.
It's interesting that he was speaking to an audience of pigs, yet they somehow thought that was a joke. But, you know, I think it's very bold of Jimmy Swaggart to come into the studios today to address this point. Could you, Jonathan, could you bring him in?
Reverend?
I never, look at it. Here, he's going to sit down. It looks like he just took some liberal lead. There you go. Oh, Jimmy Swaggart is a mess on the floor. Wow, why don't we feed him to the pigs that he preaches to? There's a little liberal lead
Jimmy Swaggart. Now, the thing I can't figure out about that little soliloquy of his just now is the constitutional amendment needs to be passed so he doesn't marry a man? Is that generally what he's trying to say here?
I just don't know where these guys get off on thinking they have moral credibility. And also, you know, this is exactly like the faith-based initiative idea that the Republicans had, is like to have guys like him out there reaffirming the ignorance of this type of Christianity, of this type of intolerance. You know what I mean? It's like we can move past. If they're willing to amend the Constitution to do this, why can't they see the Bible as a living, breathing document that is due to interpretation and change? You know what I mean?
Oh, these
people,
exactly.
These people refer to the Bible as being the law, yet the Constitution is the law of this land, and they're so willing to just sort of like pick that apart piecemeal and make it accommodate their own ridiculous, you know, moral leanings.
I don't understand. I mean, wasn't Jimmy Swaggart kind of like disgraced at one point? Wasn't he the one that got up there bawling like a kid?
Yeah,
talking about, I have sinned. Why is anybody following him anyway?
I have sinned against you.
Have they run out of preachers in Louisiana or something? Has there been a drain? Are they all in Mississippi? Why is anybody following this moron?
I haven't heard from him in a long time. This is exactly what the Republican Party does, either on purpose or not. They just activate these strange ideologues that haven't been around for a while, and all of a sudden it's like, well, I haven't seen that guy in a while. Oh, he's for Bush. You know, it's like they pop up this weird sort of cast of characters, all these weird skeletons in the closet that they can use, and they just sort of move them around like chess pieces to make it seem like they're embracing all types of hatred as opposed to one specific one. All types of narrow-mindedness are encompassed in the great Republican umbrella.
Yeah. Now, the statewide turnout in Louisiana for this particular initiative was about 27% of Louisiana's almost 3 million voters. So a lot of people didn't really turn. It was kind of like the primary here in New York the other week, low turnout. And the Christian conservatives organized. They got the grassroots. They went on a grassroots mail and door-knocking campaign to make sure their base came out on this.
Well, you know, this is why the Republicans sort of appropriated this. The Christian conservative were actually the fanatical right-to-life Christians in Kansas when the original Operation Rescue protests is what really woke up the Republicans to realizing that this was a group that they had to do everything they could to accommodate because they mobilize. They go out and get votes. If you give them moral wedge issues to work on and give them the hope that you're going to change things for their, you know, sort of selective, narrow-minded morality, they will go through hell and high water, as they say, to get those votes. And that's, it's all talked about in Thomas Frank's book, What's the Matter with Kansas. It was really sort of enlightening.
Well, you know, there are similar state constitutional amendments to ban same-sex marriage in Arkansas, Georgia, Kentucky, Michigan, Mississippi, Montana, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Oregon, and Utah. There are petitions still being verified in the state of Ohio. Now,
so interesting. All those states are so well-known for embracing open-mindedness.
But, see, Bush, this is not without its political implications, particularly in Ohio.
Yeah.
Ohio is one of those very tough swing states, and Bush's people figure with an amendment on the ballot, it will bring out his supporters.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that means that the state would not break for Kerry. So there's a political motive behind all of this foolishness.
But we got debates coming up.
We got
debates. Supposedly they're talking three debates.
September 30th in Florida,
mm-hmm.
October 8th in Missouri,
and
October 13th in Arizona. The Florida one, we'll talk about foreign policy, questions from undecideds in Missouri on the 8th of October, and domestic issues the 13th in Arizona.
It's all according to the Washington Post,
yes.
I believe, and also on October 13th, the debate will actually have some boxing. There's going to be... I think bare knuckle too is going to how they're going to finish that off.
My money would be on Kerry.
Yeah,
in a fair fight.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Especially if he wears his camo and his ear necklace.
Coming up, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, pollster Anna Greenberg, the Monday job listing, and more for you here on Air America Radio.
Who is it? Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite. 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
At $4.99 a month for a second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2004.
New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. John Kerry will be at New York University today, where he'll blast President Bush for the rise of insurgency in Iraq by allegedly shortchanging American troops and allegedly alienating foreign allies. Later tonight, Kerry will be at New York Hilton raising funds, while President Bush will be back in New York, one city block away, raising funds at the Sheraton Hotel. CBS News is getting ready to formally disclose that documents they received on Bush's military record were fake. Network up to last week was standing by their critical report on the president's military service 30 years ago. While the documents may be fake, the network is yet to say whether the content is questionable. Syria and U.S. have been at odds on a variety of issues, but that relationship may be changing amid word that the Bush administration is planning to cut a deal to stage joint patrols on the nation's border with Iraq. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Hi, this is Steve Earle reminding that your vote does make a difference.
And it's going to affect you for the next 4 years. I'm Jean Monheim. Register to vote.
In this particular election, it's going to affect the lives of your children and their children for years and years to come.
Please be vocal. Speak out. Say something. Do something. Register to vote.
What's up, this shifty? Make your vote count.
If you don't vote, someone else is going to decide your future.
The future's in your hands.
Apathy isn't sexy. This is Jennifer Marks. Register to vote.
Get serious about voting.
This is Earth and Sky. The venom of a poisonous snake is designed to kill its prey, but a bite can be a lot less lethal when it's treated with an injection of antivenin.
Antivenin is a serum that neutralizes a snake's poison. Most antivenins are too chemically complex to be synthesized in a laboratory. Instead, scientists expose an animal, such as a horse, to small amounts of snake venom. This causes its immune system to create antibodies, cells that attack the venom. The scientists remove some of the animal's blood and separate out the protective antibodies.
Bill Haast is director of the Miami Serpentarium. He produces snake venom for life-saving antivenins by milking poisonous snakes, forcing them to release their venom into a beaker. In 55 years, he says he's handled 3 million poisonous snakes. But snake bites happen, so years ago, Haast began trying to build his own immunity.
I started off in 1948 taking minute injections of cobra venom and slowly increased it until I was taking a full lethal dose. And I still do. As a matter of fact, I had an injection this morning.
Haast has been bitten 179 times so far. He says the injections have probably saved his life.
Our thanks to the Camille and Henry Dreyfus Foundation, a private foundation dedicated to advancing research and education in the chemical sciences. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Past the hour. Oh, sorry. Mark Maron with Mark Riley.
Hi.
Morning's edition, Air America Radio.
I'm glad it wasn't me you shot.
Jimmy Swaggart took some liberal lead.
That's right.
Kneel down and pray, Swaggart.
Oh, got a few.
Since the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 83. Leaders of Iraq. Yes, good morning. A young democracy is a lot like a teenager, full of energy, spirit, and rebellion. They think they know what's best for them. Well, the last couple of weeks have been, well, we're not angry so much as disappointed. Yes, well, what can you say? Well, your mother and I mean, John McCain and I, have been talking, and we're going to have to take away your keys. Freedom means responsibility, young man. I know. We know it's going to be, we know what's been going on with you and your friends behind the doors of your safe havens and sanctuaries. You know, been talking about the old days, haven't you? Back when you had running water and electricity and museums and all that stuff we got rid of when we gave you this beautiful democracy. And don't think we don't know about all the guns you're hiding in there. Yes, I can smell it under the door. So if you're going to be the big babies about it and hide from us, who have done so much for you, we have no choice but to tear down your priceless religious shrines. Then maybe that will teach you the value of things. Now, off to bed. Tomorrow's a school day. Until then, good luck and God bless. This is day 83 of Iraq, birth of a nation, live free or die. Okay, shifting gears, here to make sense, to make some sense of the latest polls is Vice President of Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research. She joins us from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Anna Greenberg.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. Last Friday, Gallup had a poll out that said Bush was leading Kerry by, like, I think 107 points, which seems ridiculous. Yeah, what do you make of that?
Well, as somebody said last week, it's a silly season for polls, and I think I agree with that.
Uh-huh.
They made the argument that the problem is that the election's so volatile, there's so much variation, you're going to get polls that give you one number one day and one number the next. Actually, I think that's not true. There are really serious differences among polls, how they're conducted, and the Gallup poll has a particular controversial way it conducts its polls.
How's that?
Well, they have a very, whenever you do a survey, you make an assumption about what you think turnout's going to be in a election.
Okay.
You have to forget the front end. They make an assumption by the questions they ask there's going to be a low turnout election.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no reason to believe that's true.
Mm-hmm.
Because based on every measure of interest in the election, voter registration efforts, this is going to be a low turnout election.
Based on how angry liberals, progressives, and Democrats are, I cannot imagine that that's true.
Exactly. So they ask about seven different questions ranging from are you registered to vote to how closely do you follow the election, do you know where your polling place is.
Mm-hmm.
And so they pull together a sample that's quite conservative because people who are more likely to vote tend to be more affluent, more conservative. And so, in fact, their sample is about 7 points more Republican when almost every other national poll has about a 2-point Democratic advantage in it. So the poll itself, I think, is flawed. But what's unfortunate is because media outlets do polls to make news, not to actually contribute to the debate. And this is a poll that CNN and USA Today use. It has to be news. And
so who do we blame for messing with our heads?
Who do we blame?
Yes. CNN, the news outlets, or just these Gallup people?
I think it's a combination, and I'm not a bash the media kind of person, but I do think the kind of proliferation of polls as news has had a detrimental effect on our political debate because these stories become about horse race and about which number might be right and not about the real issues in the election.
And that does work on someone's consciousness. It does work on people when they, you know, especially people who are hypersensitive, you know, when they feel like their candidate is being whittled away or defeated, they get defeated.
I think that's true. I mean, in the past, there wasn't a lot of evidence that polls had much of an impact on people, but we didn't do as many as we do now. We now have a new poll every single day, and there's sort of relentless coverage on TV and on the radio and in newspapers, and I think it does have a bit of a demoralizing impact on Democrats. I mean, I also think all the stories about how badly the Kerry campaign was going was not helpful for Democrats either, but I think the combination of the poll stories and the campaign stories has been somewhat demoralizing to regular Democrats.
You know how bad it's gotten? I've started polling, Anna. I never did it before. Now I poll.
I'm sorry about that.
Anna Greenberg, talk, if you will, for a moment about how Washington insiders use polling.
Well, you know, you'll never really know because we don't share most of our polling with the outside world. Most of the polling you see in the newspapers and on TV are from by media outlets. We use our polls for strategic information to help our candidates or the groups that we work for figure out how to shape their message, shape the candidate's image, figure out who they should be talking to, what outlets they should be using. And so, 95% of the polling I do never sees the light of day.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to these kinds of things, we hear politicians say all the time, I don't pay any attention to polls. How many of them are lying?
I wouldn't say they were lying, and I have a nuanced view of the use of polling in politics. I think that if you have a candidate who has good raw materials, they have a core set of values and strong beliefs, a record of accomplishment for people, that all polling does is help figure out how to shape that, how to talk about it, how to talk about it in an ad, how to talk about it in a piece of direct mail. I think a candidate who comes to you who has no beliefs, hasn't done anything and says, do a poll and figure out who I am and what I care about, is the worst kind of candidate. So I think that it's not that they're lying, it's that generally they know who they are, they know what they believe in, and they use polls to help them talk about that to regular people.
How badly has John Kerry been hurt by the Swift boat situation and whatever bounce Bush may have gotten out of the committee? I mean, the media has portrayed and certainly portrayed before this latest change in staff, the Kerry campaign as being almost mortally wounded, were they?
Well, of course not, and it's irresponsible in my view for the media to even report those kinds of stories.
Yeah, me too.
First of all, I mean, John Kerry came out of his convention with a bounce. He was up a few points. And he had a bad month in August, and it wasn't just Swift vote. It was a back and forth about the war in Iraq, which was not helpful, and a variety of other things. You also, by the way, for the first time, did not have Kerry on the air. I mean, he was not on TV in August, and that was the first time he had not had positive media up since April, and I think people have forgotten that. So Bush had momentum going into the convention, and his bounce from the convention was actually sort of the high point, and it's been declining ever since. My view is this race is close to being tied. Maybe Kerry's down a couple points. It's certainly not 13 down as Gallup had it. And the structure of the race really hasn't changed. If you look at where Republicans are, where Democrats are, where independents are, where swing voters are, we're talking about some intensification of support among Bush's core supporters who were underperforming for him throughout the summer. White, you know, college-educated men, white married men, white younger men all moved towards Bush. You still have Kerry very competitive with independents, and the Annenberg survey last week showed that Bush had not made a lot of gains with persuadable voters. I think Kerry's biggest challenge right now is to re-energize Democrats. He's underperforming a bit with Democrats, they're a little bit demoralized. I think they'll be the first people to come home, and they already are coming home, but I think that's why you see the numbers looking the way they do.
So what trends do you see in the polls that are, like, you know, first of all, because we have debates coming up, but Washington Post is reporting there's going to be three debates. Obviously, the Bush administration's message of hate and fear is resonating with some Americans, and John Kerry's message of hope and reason is also resonating about 50-50. Now, what trends do you see in the polls that are encouraging to Kerry? And as we move towards debates, you know, what do you see as really the real issues that need to be dealt with?
Well, I think what's encouraging for Kerry is that you're seeing the issues that are favorable to him, which is the economy and the war in Iraq, moving back to center stage. That was another thing that was interesting about August, was that we hardly had any discussion about Iraq or the economy that month, and it was mainly about Swift vote. And in some ways, the problem with Swift vote was that it was a distraction more than anything else from where Kerry really has a strong critique to offer about this administration. So I think as those issues become more and more prominent, and I think they are every day, I think you'll see, you know, movement back to Kerry. I think the debates are really important. I wouldn't have said that in 1999, but obviously what happened in 2000 showed how important debates are. The reason it's important for Kerry is that he doesn't really have that many opportunities left to present himself as a human being, as a person, as a regular guy, as somebody who understands people's problems. That's his real opportunity to do that. He's not going to be able to break through the way he did in the spring with his positive media anymore. He's not going to get that opportunity. And so the debates really are the opportunity to sort of say, here, this is who I am as a person to voters.
And what do you think what part of him do you really want to see come out?
I think that people, I mean, and I don't know him at all, but it is my understanding that he's actually a pretty interesting and relaxed and funny guy. And I think that people need to see that about him, and I think that they need to see that he's smart and that he has a real plan to take the country in a different direction. I think people want to feel comfortable with him.
Well, we're going to take a poll right here and see what our listeners think on the phone. Thank you for joining us, Anna. I really appreciate it. Oh, we're keeping you. Stay here.
Okay.
I didn't realize that. Stay here. We're going to take some calls, 866-303-2270. What do you think Kerry needs to do? And if you have any questions about polls, we have Anna on the phone with us from the, it's Anna Greenberg from the Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research. She's a poll expert. And that's it. It's 43 past the hour. Call us, Air America Radio. Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Oh, sorry. That's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
Hey, Jimmy, what's up?
Hey, man, turn on 24. Vince Kelce is on.
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot. I got to call Sally. Hello?
Hey, Sally. Vince Kelce is on Serious Disorder 24.
Oh, I know. I got it on. He just played some Tom Waits, then into a Lou Reed tune. It was great. Oh, listen, I got to call Sam.
Hey, Sally. Yeah, I know why you're calling. I've got Vin on right now.
Could you cast that interview with Suzanne Vega?
Vince Kelce's Idiot's Delight. Freeform.
Harlem Radio at its finest. Turn a friend on. Sunday nights at 8 Eastern on Sirius Disorder 24.
Has someone offended you? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. If a family member, friend, coworker, or even a boss has said or done something to upset you, what should you do? Tell other people? Well, no. You need to go to that person and gently let them know how they've hurt you. If they don't respond, bring along one or two other people and approach them again. In doing all this, be sure you're coming to them with clean hands, without any grudges of your own. When you work for unity in your relationships, you'll be amazed at the results. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find some great resources for strengthening your family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! Ah, that's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade! Where are those hedges?
Dad!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat!
The cat! Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Dad, make it stop!
Come back here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA. Basketball great Charles Barkley.
I got a little pop quiz for you. What do I have a hard time keeping shut? And what is my nickname? And now I got one for you. Do you know your kid's principal's nickname?
Know what really matters. Know about your kid's school. And know about your kid. Find out 100 ways to know more, do more. Visit PTA.org or call 800-307-4-PTA. A message from the Ad Council and the National PTA.
Good morning, 46 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Morning's edition, Air America Radio. On the phone, Anna Greenberg, polling expert from Greenberg Quinlan Rosner Research in Washington, D.C. You still there, Anna?
I sure am.
Wow, that's terrific. So let's take some calls.
I'm ready.
There you go.
You know, you're pretty lively for 8 in the morning here. 7:30. Here we go. Ira in Fort Lauderdale, how are you?
Good morning. How are you folks doing?
Pretty
all
good,
right,
pretty
Ira.
Good.
My question is, I'd like to find out how the state polls are run. Are they run by national polling, or are they run by, like, individual area newspapers? Because I get pretty worried when I see, like, something in Wisconsin where Bush is up by 12, 14 points.
All right, let's ask Anna. Anna, can you address that?
Sure. A combination of both, but they mainly tend to be the local media outlets. I would say that they are notoriously unreliable, and I would not put a lot of stock in them. A lot of work goes into understanding how each state... it's going to look each election year in terms of turnout and a variety of other things, and they tend to not invest the research or the money in doing their polls right.
But from what you're saying, most polls are incredibly biased one way or the other.
It's not that they're biased. It's that you actually have to spend quite a bit of money to do surveys right. And a lot of media outlets, especially the local ones that don't have a lot of resources, tend to not invest up front what they need to do to make sure they have the right kind of sample. So it's not biased in the sense that it's a deliberate sort of Republican or Democratic bias. It's that they don't sort of put what they need to into the front end.
Anna, what about college polls? I mean, we here in New York are dominated by two polls, both of which, by the way, show Kerry with only single-digit leads in New York. One is the Quinnipiac poll, which is based in Connecticut, a university poll, and the Marist college poll, another university, you know, a higher education-based poll.
My sense of both Quinnipiac and Marist is they're actually pretty good. And actually, I think the Quinnipiac has had Kerry and Bush tied nationally for most of the year. I think university polls tend to be a little bit better because they have people working in those units who understand methodology better and understand what kinds of what needs to go into making sure a poll looks right.
Yeah, I just took a very recent poll that states that Morning Sedition is one of the top 10 radio shows in history.
I'm sure it's biased.
Yeah. No, I asked everybody here.
Yeah.
Yeah, of all different types of people. Hold on. Here's Eric in Long Island. How are you, Eric?
Hey, Eric.
Hi. I just have a question about various polls.
Yes.
I was wondering if they consider if they poll the military people stationed in Iraq, because I think this time around the military votes will go heavily for Kerry.
Yeah, I that's a good point. Can you have any answers for that, Anna?
We don't, and there are actually a lot of people who don't make it into our surveys.
You mean they don't poll military people?
We don't, and there are a lot of people who don't make it into our surveys because they aren't really accessible by phone. So if you think about people who live in dorms or fraternities or in military barracks, they don't have a phone that they answer to.
Wait, who doesn't have a phone? I mean, you mean a landline?
A landline. Right.
Oh yeah, no, but those are old news landlines.
Well, not for polling, unfortunately. We don't poll on cell phones, so people who don't really have access to a landline tend to be left out of our service.
Why can't we poll on cell phones?
For a variety of complicated reasons, not the least of which you would get somebody in a restaurant in the middle of dinner and they'd be really angry and hang up on you.
Well, I'd hang up when I'm at home.
Yeah. Is there a difference?
I don't know.
Huh?
Because you're undermining my profession. You need to answer the polls.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I've done some polls. I actually invited a census guy right into my house yesterday because he had some other questions. And then he got kind of uncomfortable because I have a lot of cats and cages and stuff.
So,
yeah, exactly. Do we have time for, what are we doing, Jonathan?
We got time for one more?
All right, we got one more call. It looks like Jordan in Florida. A lot of people have been listening in Florida today. Good morning, Jordan.
Hi, Jordan.
Good morning, guys. Mark, I like that little subtle plug for cellular service there. That was nice.
Oh, no. You mean just now?
You mean from Mr. Sprint?
No, I'm not a chronic shill. It was just a one shot deal.
I know,
buddy.
You guys got integrity. I have a bunch of things I can say about this Kerry campaign, but I'm going to restrict it to one. The one thing I think he needs to do is he needs a story. The media loves a story. And he needs a story of why John Kerry is running for president in 2004. And I think he can tell that story in a way that also gets across his point that Bush misled the country, that Bush has lied time and time again. John Kerry trusted his leadership when he voted for the Iraq resolution, and he's been lied to, and now he's running for president.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. I think also he could throw in there that, you know, he also has experience in operating under fire and making decisions in difficult times. And also I'd like to see him tell a story that shows that he's a person that deliberates and listens to people and makes choices based on reason and not, you know, fear and committing to lies. Thanks a lot for your call. And thank you, Anna Greenberg, for being with us.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it.
You take care. We'll talk to the rest of you in a second here on Air America Radio.
Are you a homeowner in need of a refi to pay off debt, strapped for cash, and need to lower your monthly payments? Save now before rates go back up. Even with less than perfect credit, you can still grab a great rate, even below 6%. That's right. If you own your own home, we can lower your monthly payments. Get cash in your hand, even if you have mortgage late or a past bankruptcy.
This is Jim Eichenbaum with Omega Mortgage Acceptance Corporation. And even if you have less than perfect credit, we can still help you take advantage of rates less than 6%. So don't be misled by empty promises made by other lenders who keep asking for more time and paperwork. At Omega, there's no bait and switch, no upfront fees, just straight talk and honesty.
No need for mountains of documentation or tons of paperwork. We don't even need tax returns. Great if you're self-employed. Just call 888-32-APPLY today. Get approved in less than 20 minutes. We specialize in refis for homeowners just like you. Call 888-32-APPLY right now and lower your monthly payment. Pay off debt, even get cash. Call 888-32-APPLY today. That's 888-322-7759. Licensed by the Cal DRE, number 01411312. 888-32-APPLY.
Hey, Jimmy, what's up?
Hey, man, turn on 24th. Vince Scales is on.
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot. I got to call Sally. Hello?
Hey, Sally. Vince Scales is on Sirius Disorder 24.
Oh, I know. I got it on. He just played some Tom Waits, then into a Lou Reed tune. It was great. Oh, listen, I got to call him.
Hey, Sally. Yeah, I know why you're calling. I've got Vin on right now.
Did you catch that interview with Suzanne Vega?
Vince Scales' Idiot's Delight. Freeform radio at its finest. Turn a friend on. Sunday nights at 8 Eastern on Sirius Disorder 24.
Hello.
Hi, Bill.
This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving. And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Everyone knows what happens when we join together. We get stronger. That's why community groups like the PTA, clubs, and even faith groups can do so much for our community, especially fighting to keep kids away from drugs. But do you know there's a way to make community groups even stronger? It's called a community coalition. A community coalition helps local groups get together and fight to keep kids away from drugs. Find out how your group can get involved at helpyourcommunity.org, because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Yep. Good morning. It's 55 past the hour. Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
You're listening to Air America Radio. It's Monday. It feels okay. I feel all right. You feel all right?
I feel great.
And now we have our Monday job listing. Okay. The debate sparring partners needed. Here we go. John Kerry, Democratic candidate for President of the United States, needs a sparring partner to play the part of George W. Bush in mock debates to practice for the real thing. We need someone who is able to take a complex issue and immediately distill it into a simple soundbite about something else entirely. When questions and our ideas are being thrown at you with bewildering speed, you should be able to ignore them completely and read off talking points written on your palm by your handlers. Applicants of average or even above average intelligence are welcome. However, for the sake of realism, before the mock debate, we may have to spin you around rapidly for several minutes and give you a strong blow to the head. Effect should wear off within hours. We are also seeking someone to play the part of Ralph Nader in a debate, just in case. Ralph, if you want to do it yourself, it would mean a few extra bucks for you. That's it.
Wow.
What do you got? You want to take another call?
Well, before we take another call, you know, I'm looking at this swag, Marin.
Oh, the
Morning's Edition has its own stuff.
Oh, look, we're on the shirts.
Yeah, man, T-shirts.
Oh.
Yeah, but that's the fat me, man. Hey, I am going on cholesterol pills. The next caricature they do of me has got to be half of what this is, all right? Getting sick of this.
I got to get me a hat. How much are they? You think I can get one for free?
No.
No?
Absolutely not.
That seems ridiculous. Chuck in Pennsylvania, how are you?
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, all right, guys.
What's going on, man? What's on your mind?
I just wanted to let you know, I'm a Republican here. I enjoy listening to your show.
Well, oh, thank you.
Okay.
And
I just got uncomfortable.
I get nervous, you know, it's a big show here.
What do you got?
Anyway, I wanted to let you know, like I said, I'm a Republican. I don't have anything against the gay marriage.
Yeah.
I think it'd be okay to have a civil union of sorts, but the only thing I'm against is calling it a holy union.
Okay.
So, you know, if, you know, they want to have a...
I don't think the government does that. I think that...
Yeah, that's church stuff, isn't it?
Yeah. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't have anything against it. I mean, if people, you know, want to be gay or so forth or are gay, that's fine.
And if they want to be married or in a civil union, that's fine with you, too. You don't want to consecrate it in a church. That's your problem.
Yeah.
I understand, Chuck. Well, thanks for stepping up and calling the show as a Republican. We don't get many of you guys who and actually speak positively. And also spread the word to your Republican friends that they should lighten up on the gay marriage thing.
Yeah, it would be nice. Now, I forgot to say that it is morningsedition.com where you can access this beautiful swag.
I got to talk to these people, maybe get it for nothing.
Man.
Why shouldn't I be able to get it for nothing?
You may be able to get it for nothing. I mean, I was just being facetious.
But Larson's literally telling me, Smarty Pants Larson's like, I don't think you can get it for nothing.
Wait a minute. Your picture's on it.
Yeah, I know.
You're getting royalties like Sprint?
I got to talk to Krieger. This is ridiculous. What's coming on?
Now, you know
hour?
What happened the last time you talked to Doug Krieger,
yeah,
right?
We're going to continue that.
Yeah. Coming up in the next hour, Recovery Corner. David Bowman from the National Journal on the week ahead in Congress, the liberal agenda, more of you on the telephones, and much, much more here on Air America.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet. Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far. So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes. That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 200. Backward slam dunk with his eyes closed. Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose. Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite. Get out. Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Ben.
I am the Edison Photograph. Did you like those who would have melody on?
Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. John Kerry will be taking center stage at New York University today to blast President Bush once again on his policy in Iraq. Democrat is accusing the president of allowing a rise in insurgency in Iraq by shortchanging, allegedly, the U.S. military and alienating foreign allies. Kerry is shifting his attention to the ongoing crisis in Iraq in the final weeks of the campaign to force Bush to come clean, as he puts it, on conditions in the country. Kerry's impending attack today comes as his campaign rolls out yet another series of television ads showing Americans how the current administration is responsible for the insurgency in Iraq. President Bush is getting it all from all directions in Iraqi insurgency, that issue particularly. Yesterday, one of his key Republican supporters and two other party leaders slammed the administration for not handling the Iraq issue well. Arizona Republican Senator John McCain was on Fox television yesterday in an interview with correspondent Chris Wallace when the issue of rebel attacks in Iraq surfaced.
Is the president being straight with the American people about just how tough the situation is in Iraq?
Perhaps not as straight as maybe we'd like to see.
Senator John McCain with Chris Wallace on Fox yesterday. Meanwhile, Republican Senator Chuck Hagel of Nebraska had even more to say about the administration's handling of Iraq on Face the Nation with veteran journalist Bob Schieffer.
Do you think, Senator Hagel, that we're winning?
No, I don't think we're winning. The fact is, a crisp, sharp analysis of our policies are required. To say, well, we just must stay the course, and any of you who are questioning are just hand-wringers, is not very responsible. The fact is, we're in trouble. We're in deep trouble in Iraq.
Republican Senator Chuck Hagel of Nebraska, more signs of the deteriorating situation in Iraq this morning. Despite the rise of insurgency in the country, America's strongest ally in the war is getting ready to pull his troops out of the country. The Observer reports the British Army will be reducing its forces soon. Publication says the main British combat force in Iraq is about 5,000 strong at the moment. Reports say they will be reduced to about a third by the end of October during what has been described as a routine rotation of units. News of the troops' reduction came on another day of violence in which a suicide bomber took the lives of 23 people and wounded some 53 others in northern Kirkuk. Close to 300 people lost their lives last week in Iraq. And a second Sunni cleric who belonged to an influential Muslim group has been killed in an attack in Baghdad. Association of Muslim Scholars says the cleric was gunned down today as he headed to a mosque in the Iraqi capital to perform noon prayers. The group says it was unarmed and had no security guards. The group said another cleric was killed last night in Baghdad as he was leaving a mosque. A conservative organization has worked for the release of the hostages that also strongly opposes U.S. presence in Iraq. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
You know college football. You want interviews with the top college coaches in the country. You want analysis from the very best in the business, and you want it now. Sirius is now offering college sports radio with the Sirius College Coaches Show. 3 hours of the very best analysis for Saturday's game with Coach Terry Bowden and legendary college announcer Jack Arute. The Sirius College Coaches Show, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern. Saturdays on Sirius Sports Action 123.
in This Is Earth and Sky. Sarah Sines in Sunrise, Florida, wants to know about dieting and our bodies.
She writes, for every pound we're overweight, our bodies grow 200 miles of new capillaries. What happens to those capillaries when we lose weight?
Sarah, it's true, your body grows 200 miles, more than 300 kilometers of new capillaries for each added pound of weight. Capillaries are tiny blood vessels. They're so tiny that they only allow one blood cell to move freely through them at a time. Capillaries pass nutrients to our cells and pick up wastes. When a person gains a few pounds of fat tissue, that tissue needs a supply of blood to survive, and that's why you grow the new network of tiny blood vessels.
Typically, as you lose weight, the existing fatty cells just shrink and wait for a chance to grow again. That's why it can be so hard to shed weight. But through persistent dieting and exercise, the fat tissue can be reabsorbed into the body. To answer your question, Sarah, the cells of the capillaries can also be broken down.
So the vast network of tiny capillaries can slowly recede along with your receding waistline. We have links to more about this process at our website, earthsky.org. Thanks for your question, Sarah, and with thanks to the National Science Foundation, I'm Joel Block.
And I'm Deborah Bird for Earth and Sky.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse, I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found the need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
And it's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Yeah, okay. Good morning. How about one of these?
Why don't they talk about the issue?
Maybe a little of this.
We're fighting for our lives here.
And just for punctuation.
Fire truck.
If you don't know what that means, it's good. Fire truck carry. Coming in. Good morning, Mark Riley. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man.
I got jelly all over my thing here. There's jelly everywhere. My hand is sticking to my thing.
You had a Kalo. What do you mean?
Yeah. Define a Kalo.
No, define thing.
Oh. No, not that thing.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I would think you would know if that thing had jelly on it. If I'm sitting here in the studio right across from you, I think that you would know if that thing had jelly on it.
Well, I figured your papers might cover it. I don't know.
And I think that if that thing was out with jelly on it, that we'd be doing a different show.
That's for sure. This is true. Absolutely.
But I don't know. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Hey, look, I'm reading this piece now that CBS is going to come out tonight and say that the Killian memos were fraudulent, which disappoints me to no end because I believe them. I wanted to believe them, just like many liberals and progressives and Democrats and people who hate Bush around the world wanted to believe that these memos were true. But the truth of the matter is what we do know is still, you know, what we do know.
Yes.
And that is, you know, first of all, Lieutenant Governor Ben Barnes of Texas, who helped grease the wheels to get him in, that exists. He's a real man. He said this. He's not a political operative. We also have the guys who are in the National Guard who said they never saw the guy, who said he didn't show up for work. All right, we have that. We have the Secretary of Killian. He said that everything that was in the memos was true, but she didn't write them or transcribe them.
Not only that, she said she heard him discussing George W. Bush.
The only problem is that this is clearly a smear campaign. You know, it's people smearing. Well, how does it really work, though? Because I agree with you. These were planted. You know, this was done by Republican operatives. I mean, I believe believe that in my heart, that this was a setup from the beginning with. And what a setup like this does, though, is it makes everyone doubt the credibility of all documents, and hence, you know, really just want to not even question, you know, the issue doesn't become about Bush's real guard service, which was, you know, negligible, and there was a really good indication that he was AWOL and that he didn't take it seriously, that he was basically a
slacker, a malingerer.
Right, and that, you know, even his honorable discharge that these guys hang on to, you know, these Republicans.
It's suspect.
Well, it's just that, you know, how is a guy whose father's a congressman not going to get an honorable discharge from the National Guard? You know, it's just ridiculous. Of course he's going to get an honorable discharge, no matter what happens. If his father's friends could get him this, you know, he could get him an honorable discharge. And now out there in the blogosphere, you know, from BlueLemur.com, or is that what it is? Blue Lemur, yeah, the Blue Lemur. And also, we have some other stuff that coming in from the blog.
Raw story, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, that a lot of Bush's guard records may have been tampered with. But the whole issue from the, did you get it?
Yeah.
All right. sorry, man. I got worked up there and I cussed a little, but I think we caught it. Listen, so it's only going to distract us from the real issues, which are, you know, the economy, health care, you know, the war in Iraq, the important stuff. And another thing I want to bring up is also that these idiots, which is the name of that? Oh, here it is. I'm all scattered now. I'm all coffeeed up. Judicial Watch Group, you know, filed, they wanted to get a suit that would make the U.S. Navy, you know, say that Kerry's medals were not
bogus.
Yeah, but the U.S. Navy on Friday rejected, you know, Judicial Watch's request to open an investigation into military awards given to Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry during the Vietnam War, saying his medals were properly approved. Quote, our examination found that existing documentation regarding the Silver Star, Bronze Star, and Purple Heart medals indicates the awards approval process was properly followed. Period. So I got a little of this for Judicial Watch. Just a little liberal leg. All right? How about a little of that? How about a couple of these?
You know how they made their bones, don't you, Judicial Watch?
No, lay it on me, Riley.
Well, they went after Clinton on a number of issues.
Yeah.
Not the least of which was the Vince Foster suicide.
Yes.
And Paula Jones.
It's just slander. It's revisionism. It's conspiracy model thinking that just, you know, reinvigorates people who believe that everything is a conspiracy on behalf of the liberal elite. You know, it's just ridiculous. I mean, everybody knows who is intelligent at all or who is awake that, you know, George Bush was the wealthy son of a bunch of, you know, extremely, you know, wealthy legacy. He was taken care of all his life. He's never claimed responsibility for anything. He's never had to take responsibility for everything. He was a smug, arrogant, you know, belligerent young man, a business failure, a guy who was, you know, marginally, you know, intelligent. You know, he's been taken care of his entire life. I mean, all the truth of the matter is the truth of the matter. He was weaseled into the National Guard so he wouldn't have to go to Vietnam. You know, John Kerry volunteered to go to Vietnam. But the problem I'm having is that because of all these documents and all this, you know, this is on behalf of the Republicans. I know they set him up. I know they set him up.
You know, I said that the first day, Mark, as you know, and had Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman, say, oh, no, I think you're wrong on this. But, hey, let's get past it. Let's move past Bush. Let's move past all his guard service. And let's talk about something that is scary, I think, and should scare every American. There's the Washington Post is doing a series about how middle-class Americans are coping in this society and some fundamental shifts in the job market that's making that more difficult for them and their families. They talk about a guy named Scott Clark, who's from apparently from Richmond, Virginia, who had a $17 an hour job in a factory. That job died. And now he is actually driving a van, making deliveries.
Yeah.
With no health insurance. He's one of those 45 million people whose families do not have health insurance.
Yeah.
And they talk about the fact that all different kinds of jobs, you know, we all know that factory jobs have declined by 5 million over the last generation, last 25
right.
years. But a lot of other jobs are vanishing at the same time. According to the Washington Post, computer code crunchers, produce managers, call center operators, travel agents, office clerks, those folks, white-collar jobs are disappearing. And by all accounts, they're not coming back. And what people are now having to do is cobble together a living. The husband works two jobs, the wife works a part-time job.
There's a whole new class of unemployed.
Yeah. And see, now, the Post piece doesn't even talk about people who were in good jobs and haven't been able to find work in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They're talking about people who have figured out how to make ends meet by doing things that they probably never thought they would do when they were younger. Is it because, when you know, certainly for my generation...
Or they actually did when they were younger and thought they'd never have to do again.
Yeah. I mean, look, when I was younger, the prevailing logic was, okay, you take a particular kind of job, and you will have a certain level of security. You'll always have your health benefits. You'll always, you know, have a job until you retire. And what you're seeing now is a very, very different economy, an economy of complete uncertainty about how long you're going to have your job, and not just because you work in a factory. You may be working in a travel agency and find out you have no job. You may be working in a back office someplace and suddenly find out. There was a story the other day in Jersey where one of the banks, you know, two banks merged, a bunch of jobs, 300, 400 jobs in New Jersey, gone.
Yeah, you could be working at a radio station that goes out across the country and has a particular point of view and find out one day you don't have a job.
Thanks, Mark.
Come on. I'm talking about all of this.
Yeah, I know. I know. Thanks, Mark. No, it's an uncertain economy. It's an uncertain world. It is a world, by the way, that George W. Bush has no clue exists.
Yeah.
He doesn't know these people. He doesn't know the life of this guy.
You know what, though? I'm starting to, like, you know, what I'm starting to work in my head. I'm reading this this book by a guy named Cussell, I think his name is. It's called Class. It was referred to me by a woman who writes for... in these times, and it's a very interesting assessment of all the different classes and the classes within the classes. And I really think that, you know, George Bush has some sort of strange appeal to people who are sort of in the, you know, kind of like lower middle class or upper, like lower class, that, you know, he is what they think, you know, a decent boss should be. You know, like a guy I don't mind working for, you know, but, you know, he is really, but that just means that, you know, at his best, he may be an effective middle manager. You know, he is able to pull the wool over these guys' eyes and make them feel like he's one of them. You know, but he's really doing, you know, he's just a puppet of the neocon death cult. And also, the whole thing is a fabrication. He is a character that has been invented by Texas, by the sheer coincidence or the sheer, you know, whatever it is that, you know, he just happened to be brought up in Texas by a family of Yankee, you know, wealthy Brahmin people, you know, that
aristocrats.
Yeah. You know, and he just happened to be the renegade son who grew up in Texas and who happened to be around while his father was, you know, out running around being a diplomat and doing this and that. Apparently, you know, George Sr. was not that present a father. And I know the kind of person that is invented, that is created out of having an absent father, either emotionally or physically, is a belligerent, angry, ambitious, I'll show them type of person, you know, and also a controlling person, you know. And I just noticed this because of my friends, you know, who had absent fathers and just their own ambition. They're not all George Bushes or presidents, but there's a type of drive that comes from somebody who needs to prove something to a father that didn't give them what they need. And it's sort of what we're seeing. But what I'm saying is his entire personality is contrived, and he appeals to these people that we've been talking about, these newly out of work people. They think that he's a reasonable guy.
Yeah, and it's amazing to me because he really doesn't have a lot in common with them, and B, he's done absolutely nothing in 4 years that would indicate he's about getting them into other work.
It's the whole thing is a sham. Now, we're going to come back. We're going to do the presidential pomp pile. We're also going to talk about how Kerry is now linking the Iraq war to some of our domestic problems that we're getting into right now. It's 16 past the hour, Air America Radio.
This is Mick Foley, professional wrestler and best-selling author, and you're listening to the two guys who give the right wing the smackdown. It's Mark Maron and Mark Riley with Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
You know college football. You want interviews with the top college coaches in the country. You want analysis from the very best in the business, and you want it now. Sirius is now offering college sports radio with the Sirius College Coaches Show. 3 hours of the very best analysis for Saturday's game with Coach Terry Bowden and legendary college announcer Jack Arute. The Sirius College Coaches Show, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern. Saturdays on Sirius Sports Action 123.
Want to get your child fired up about playing a sport? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. My wife taught me that it's not a good idea to push your kids into sports. Instead, do things to get them interested. Take them to a tennis match or a baseball game. Then, give them a book or magazine on the sport. Maybe even check out a video from the library. Get excited about the sport yourself, and let them enjoy the overall experience. For ideas on how to keep your kids motivated once they do get involved with sports, go to FamilyMinute.net for a free information sheet. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. If you'd like to get today's Family Minute offer, visit our website, FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net. Or give us a call at 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Hey, Mom, I'm going to a dance with some friends. Don't worry, I won't drink alcohol.
But the next day, I'll sleep a lot and not say much. Although a few days later...
I'll be back to my normal self, and you'll forget about it until...
The next weekend, I'm the same way. But this time, I don't get happy again.
You may not know much about the drug ecstasy, but your kids might. Talk to them about how E causes sleeplessness and depression, and may even damage parts of their brain, particularly parts that make them happy. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Oh, yes. Lou Reed and the Velvet Underground.
Vicious.
That's another song, but you can go ahead and sing that one on top of this one.
Sorry.
No, I like Vicious. Vicious is a great song. 20 past the hour, I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Sorry.
Morning Sedition. Nothing to apologize for. There's no reason why we can't sing two or three Velvet Underground songs at the same time. Here's the Ramon dropped this off earlier, then scurried off to the Lower East Side to see if he could still score. It's here's the President's Palm Pilot for today, Monday. The schedule goes as follows. 8 a.m., wake up, stay on message. Elections can't be bought. Polls, however. 11 a.m., attend rally. Derry, New Hampshire. Note, find out if this is spelled D-E-R-R-Y or D-A-I-R-Y. If this is the latter, speak out against liberal lactose intolerance. 12 noon, go to New York. Note, double Secret Service detail. The place won't be full of Republicans this time. 1 p.m., find out where Kofi Annan parks his limo at the U.N. Park there. 2 p.m., attend fundraiser. Note, if anyone mentions the money for 9/11 that we promised New York City and still haven't given them, just shrug and tell them it's hurricane season. 4 p.m., rehearse speech to United Nations. Note, these people won't be charmed by mispronouncing nuclear. 11:30 p.m., watch Carry On Letterman. Note, must not have self-deprecation gap. 12 midnight, bedtime. First make panic call to Bruce Valanche for possible appearance on Leno. Fire Jeff Ross. Hey, who knew that Jeff Ross was working for him? Before we go into the story about the money, the $87 billion that Kerry did a protest vote against was specifically because he didn't want it to be taken out of the Treasury so the deficit would go even bigger. He wanted it to be taken out of a repeal of the tax cut to the wealthiest Americans here.
There are no nations. There are no peoples. There are no Russians. There are no Arabs. There are no third worlds. There is no West. There is only one holistic system of systems. One vast and immane, interwoven, interacting, multivariate, multinational dominion of dollars. Petrodollars, electrodollars, multidollars, Reichmarks, rings, rubles, pounds, and shekels. It is the international system of currency which determines the totality of life on this planet.
Hey, Ned Beatty and Network. Now, the report is here. John Kerry links the cost of the Iraq war to problems at home and vows an a new television ad to both defend America and fight for the middle class. And we're talking about the middle class. We're talking about how they're being hit with a new wave of unemployment that they never knew before. They're being hit with having to take jobs that they never thought they would have to take before. This is right at the heart of what Kerry needs to be addressing. And, quote, $200 billion, that's what we're spending in Iraq because George Bush chose to go it alone. That's from the new ad. And then he says, quote, now the president tells us we don't have the resources to take care of health care and education here at home, and that's wrong. And it is wrong. I mean, if this war is the righteous thing to do, if it was right, you know, from the get-go, people would have been able to make a sacrifice, you know what I mean? But I think that innately people knew that this was just a business venture on behalf of a cabal of insane ideologues, and that, you know, the people that didn't want to sacrifice. Like, even like the fact that, you know, Kerry said maybe we should take some of that money back we were giving to the rich people. This isn't me say it like some sort of revolutionary. The rich people.
The rich.
But no, to repeal the tax cut to the wealthiest 2%, you know, would those people be willing to make the sacrifice? Hell no! Because those are the people that are going to benefit from this war. Those are the people that all this new business that is generated from war, the money kicks back into those circles, right?
Absolutely. And Mark, you're talking about, and remember how this war played itself out. America essentially said to the rest of the world, hey, if you want in on this, feel free. We're going to create this coalition. And you'll notice that very few people were willing, very few nations were willing to sacrifice their young people, their soldiers, to this battle because of the very reason you just cited, because they saw it as a business deal. They saw it as American cowboy recklessness in a part of the world where they didn't know what they were getting themselves into. And now that has turned out to be absolutely true.
And then the response to it is this Steve Schmidt. You know, one of, you know, Bush's, you know,
mouthpieces.
Yeah. Asses.
Shills.
Yeah. He said, quote, after attacking the president for not spending enough on Iraq, John Kerry is now attacking the president for spending too much. This is a way of twisting everything. You know, unfortunately, you know, John Kerry has said too many different things about Iraq, and he sort of like disabled himself in terms of being able to have a sort of focused conversation about it. Because not outside of the spin that the Republicans do, in quotes, you know, he's done. I read Coburn's piece on his website.
Alexander Coburn?
Yeah, Alexander Coburn's piece. And it was an interesting piece about how, you know, he has sort of said too many things that contradict each other. But the $87 billion, that, you know, he voted against that specifically, you know, as a protest vote, to take the money from somewhere other than the American, you know, to not create more of a deficit by, you know, we can use the money that we gave the tax breaks for.
And by the way, John McCain, the senator who's now standing by Bush's side, although he kind of slammed him over the weekend, but, you know, campaign with the guy, McCain took the identical position about using, you know, about having a tax cut in the middle of a war. And see, the amazing thing about this is Mark Bush is saying we want to make these tax cuts permanent. That's a big part of his campaign. Yet at the same time, he says the war is going to go on for the foreseeable future. Now, how do you do continual permanent tax cuts in the face of what he himself is describing is a virtually permanent war?
Disregard the future.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just keep doing it and let the future generations pay for it. I mean, at the rate we're going, the amount of debt that's going to be saddled on, you know, my grandkids, you know, that, I mean, I got to get started. I don't even have kids yet, but is going to be, you know, just, you know, unfathomable.
It is going to be unfathomable, and it's going to be, I think Kerry is taking a smart tack by saying, you tie the war, a failed war, to a failed economy. It makes sense. It is a litany of failure. And I don't care how much George W. Bush tries to run out here. Oh, the economy's doing better. The unemployment rate's lower. This and that. You hear people say on the one hand, well, the number of uninsured hasn't risen all that much. We've said it has. 1.4 million people in the last year. But George W. Bush in 2000 promised to lower the number of uninsured Americans. That has not happened.
And a lot of these, the reasoning that these Republicans cite, you know, these numbers that they're citing in relation to, you know, administration's past does not take into context the population growth. Is that, you know, there's going to be more people every year. So the numbers that were held for Clinton or were held for, you know, even previous administrations, that it's a percentage deal. It can't be the number of people because the number of people is constantly changing.
Absolutely. But see, that suits their purpose. It suits their purpose to use numbers without taking into account the expansion of the country, because the numbers then look like they're in their favor.
Yeah.
That's all it is. But the bottom line is there are more Americans uninsured. There are more Americans living in poverty. And George W. Bush promised to attack these problems, and he hasn't done it.
More Americans out of work, too.
Absolutely. When we come back, Recovery Corner. From the National Journal, David Bowman joins us, and the Liberal Agenda, all here on Air America Radio.
Air today, Mercury tomorrow. Casey Harrell, coordinator of Mercury Studies for Greenpeace, explains.
We've designed a very user-friendly, do-it-yourself hair sampling kit so people can test themselves for mercury.
Through snail mail, it's a simple scientific process to test for this neurotoxin.
They give a small sample of their hair, and they send it out to an academic laboratory that we're working with.
The lab turns it around in just 2 to 3 weeks, and the results are confidential.
We know that mercury is very pervasive in our environment and in our bodies.
Coal-fired power plants are enemy number one in mercury emissions.
We don't even need this fuel source. We have fuel sources such as clean energy like wind and solar power that emit no mercury, no toxins into our environment.
Make the cut. Purchase your mercury kit online.
GreenpeaceUSA.org.
That's Planet Check.
Planet Check is possible thanks to Clif Bar, the energy bar made with organic ingredients by a company committed to sustaining you and the planet. More at CliffBar.com.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The story of President Bush's military service in the Texas Air National Guard just won't go away. While CBS News this morning is preparing to formally announce their documents they received on Bush's service were fake, another information source says at least 2 documents in Bush's National Guard file show signs of tampering, this to cover up embarrassing information. John Kerry will be taking center stage at New York University today to again blast the president for the rise of insurgency in Iraq. Kerry's attack is timed to the release of new television campaign ads showing how war money is impacting the lives of America's middle class. And both President Bush and John Kerry will be within one New York City block of each other tonight. Bush will be on the west side stumping for dollars, while Kerry will be closer to the east side of Manhattan in a similar bid. Both candidates look at New York as a gold mine for their respective campaigns. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Sirius NFL Radio, Channel 124, is all football all the time. Hear breaking NFL news and scores 24 hours a day, along with exclusive interviews.
Let's talk football. Let's talk football.
Commentary and analysis from top players and coaches. All-star staff include Shannon Sharp, Chris Carter, Cam Reeves, John Riggins, and Keyshawn Johnson. When it's the NFL you want, it's the NFL you can't get. NFL Radio, 124.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with another Car Clinic Minute. You treasured collecting baseball cards, and today's kids have gathered those and more, from NFL and WNBA to Pokemon and Star Trek. But when I come back, we'll go automotive with a hobby. In today's world of discord and disappointment, one thing's for sure. Car cover owners are so satisfied, they buy their car covers all over again. Think car covers are a hassle? No. Research shows owners find covers easy to put on and take off. Are all covers the same? No. The standard in car cover fabric is Blockit by Kimberly-Clark. Don't let sun and dust damage your car. Kimberly-Clark's Blockit fabric's got you covered. That's Blockit by Kimberly-Clark. We've got trading cards for cartoons and sports heroes, but fancy this. Now there's a card celebrating those who really put their lives on the line every day and showcasing their cars. P.S. Publishers has released 2 first edition box sets of police collector cards entitled Troopers Across America and City Police Across America. Each set features cruisers in full color photos, as well as vital stats, uniforms, and histories of highway and big city law enforcement agencies from coast to coast. Now, you may not have the badge, but you can have your very own police cruiser in your pocket. I'm Bobby Likas. Likas, you'll love us.
Yeah.
Listen to that rock and roll. I'm so glad I brought that CD in.
That's the first Gun Club record. Without the Gun Club, no White Stripes. How do you like that? That's what I say.
Did that music make it to the ghetto? Because I've never heard it.
Well, that's actually, oddly say that, it may not have made it to the ghetto, but it is actually their version of a Robert Johnson song. That's preached.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a Robert Johnson song?
It is, yeah.
Okay. Now, you know, because Robert Johnson is one of the great mysteries of American history.
Yeah.
Not just American musical history, just American history. Because the guy, like, literally vanished into thin air, it seems, at one point.
He disappeared. They picked up some. They're looking for Robert Johnson. I read a book. It's a short little book by one of those. Who the hell wrote that? It's a great little book. I really enjoyed reading it. It was by, I don't know if it's Guralnick or if it's one of the other. I think it might be Guralnick. I don't know. I'll look it up. But it's a great book. It's a little book just about the search for Robert Johnson and what we do know. And
well, you know, black people were a little slow. Northern black people in particular were slow to embrace the blues and therefore slow to embrace Robert Johnson. It took a little while. You know, when I was growing up, you put blues music on and people, turn that hillbilly, blah, blah, blah. I mean, because it was considered southern. It was considered unsophisticated compared to the music that was being made, like in Motown.
Right.
You know, in the North.
I'm a big blues fan. I just like, at some point it became so appropriated by pop culture, by, you know, commercials. And it's just sort of like, the thing about the blues, the great thing about the blues, and also, yeah, Peter Guralnick wrote it, yeah. The great thing about the blues, and also the great shortcoming of the blues, is anyone can play the blues. anyone can play them pretty well. But before we go on, my name's Mark, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mark!
And in Recovery Corner, I reach out to fellow 12-steppers who are struggling to stay clean and sober. As always, I offer my counsel to my temporary sponsor, George W. Okay, all right. By now, I realize that you've rejected any traditional recovery program. You're in some kind of self-recovery or anti-recovery or self-willed program, some sort of Bush family-based Crawford home remedy. I don't know. But as usual, no one gets to tell you what to do, including me. All right. Or the United Nations, apparently. I know you're speaking there tomorrow, but why? To prove that you don't need their help? To prove that cooperation and mutual understanding don't work? To prove that you can quit drinking whenever you want to? Go ahead, buddy. Isolate. If that works for you, fine. Do it your way. Until you hit a sober bottom, okay? I'm sure you know better than the millions who have turned their lives around using this program. You want a unilateral recovery. I get it. Good luck with that, pal. You recover alone, you fall alone. You understand? You know my number. Sorry. How's tough love feel coming the other way? Huh? Right. So you know my number, as I said. Call me up. I'm the one with the blue helmet. So remember, keep the plug in the jug. There's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem. Bend your knee before you bend your elbow. Get to a meeting. Sorrow's looking back. Worry's looking forward. Think. Don't drink today. Just for today. So now we go... Yes, absolutely. Joining us by phone from Washington, D.C. is a congressional correspondent at the National Journal. David Bowman is with us. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is it Bowman or Bowman? I keep screwing up.
It's Bowman.
David Bowman. I want to give you your name properly.
Thank you.
So what do we got going this week? What's on the big agenda? Any intelligence? Are they going to make any of those intelligence reforms?
Well, the House and Senate are still struggling over the issue, and usually when Congress tries to do something this late in the year before an election year, they goof it up. And this may well be the case. There's still big divisions between the House and the Senate and what the President wants to do and what the 9/11 Commission wants to do. The House Republican leaders and the President seem to have some agreement, but the Senate is more siding with the 9/11 Commission. And as usual, when a big issue goes to Capitol Hill, there's turf battles over the various congressional committees.
What are the big differences?
The big difference seems to be disclosure of the intelligence budget. The 9/11 Commission wants the intelligence budget disclosed, how much money is spent on intelligence. The Senate seems to be leaning in that direction. The President and the House Republican leaders seem opposed to that.
You mean disclosing how much money is going in, you know, once they implement these changes?
Right. Disclosing how much money is being spent on intelligence. Right now, those numbers are not public.
Hmm.
David, aren't the members of Congress taking a bit of a risk if the nation's attention remains focused on national security, as most polls now say it is?
Sure. But it's late in the year, and and it's going to be very difficult to sort out all the differences, all the issues. Congress is trying to get out of here October 8th or 14th and then come back after the election to finish the appropriations bills. The one thing that Congress has to get done is the appropriations bills, and those are moving very slowly, and at some point appropriations are going to have to take precedence over anything else.
And what else you got going on in Congress this week?
It's going to be a lot of appropriations work. The president has only signed two appropriations bills. The House and the Senate are way behind. The Senate more so than the House. And if they want to get out of here by October 8th or 14th or somewhere around there, they're going to have to pass a continuing resolution to keep the government operating or risk a shutdown, which nobody is going to do.
I mean,
government shutdown is off the table since 1996.
And they're going to bring a Lally by?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, just to show them how it's supposed to work? Or?
Right. Presumably, but as is sometimes the case when they have joint sessions of Congress, you may see a lot of high schoolers in blue jackets in the back of the room. They usually fill up the House chamber with staff and even pages.
Oh, wow. David Bauman, what kinds of dynamics are at work on these appropriations bills? I mean, you're right. They kind of keep the government afloat. With a Republican Congress and a Republican president, why are they moving with such glacial speed?
Well, you would think that they'd be able to move a little bit faster, but that's not the case. In the House, there are deep divisions. You have to get to 218 votes to pass anything. Conservatives want to make even larger cuts than the president proposed, but they don't necessarily have the votes to do it. Northeastern moderates may block that. In the Senate, traditionally the Senate likes to spend more money than the House does. You've got a division of only one vote in the Senate, and whatever the Senate passes may not pass the House. Whatever the House passes may not pass the Senate. So you're going to have a big continuing resolution, and most likely after the election sometime, they're going to come back and they're going to pass one of those 1,500-page bills that folks may only have a couple of hours to read and go home.
But now, isn't that what Dennis Hastert and Tom DeLay are in Congress for, to try and get their fellow Republicans in line behind the president's agenda?
You would think so, but often in the House and the Senate, it's like herding cats.
Uh-oh. Cats are a sore subject on this show.
Wait, I thought Hastert and DeLay were probably primarily there to keep Satan's agenda going.
I won't call it Satan's agenda. I'm a reporter up here. I've got to.
Yeah, I know. You got to be a little objective. We understand.
Well, I've got to maintain some credibility. But presumably, they would like to implement largely the president's agenda. But you've got conservatives who are even more conservative than the president, and you've got some northeastern moderate Republicans who, if they made the cuts that the conservatives want, won't get reelected necessarily.
It's tough
for somebody like Nancy Johnson of Connecticut to live with, or Chris Shays of Connecticut, to live with the kind of cuts that conservatives want.
Hmm. All right, so that's why it's going slow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, David. I really appreciate it. It was good talking to you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, David.
You take care. That was David Bauman. He's the congressional correspondent in the National Journal. Why don't you give us a call? What's on your mind? 866-303-2270. Talk about John Kerry if you want. We can talk about, well, whatever you want. It's a free swim here on Air America Radio. You want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Hi, this is Steve Irwin reminding that your vote does make a difference.
And it's going to affect you for the next 4 years. I'm Jean Monheit. Register to vote.
In this particular election, it's going to affect the lives of your children and their children for years and years to come.
Please, be vocal. Speak out. Say something. Do something. Register to vote.
What's up, this shifty? Make your vote count.
If you don't vote, someone else is going to decide your future.
The future's in your hands.
Apathy isn't sexy. This is Jennifer Mark. Register to vote.
Get serious about voting.
How does arguing with your spouse affect your kids?
I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Some family experts say that lots of arguing results in more aggression between kids. But there's an upside to observing conflict between parents. When you handle it properly, kids can learn how to discuss problems and how to resolve them. And they can see that relationships and family life improve as a result. So, it's okay to disagree openly and calmly with your spouse, as long as you respect and listen to one another. Focus on working toward a solution and not letting anger get the better of you. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to FamilyMinute.net. That's FamilyMinute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very
Sound it out.
Important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help most. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
No, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dad.
Keep going.
Reading with
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
Thanks to you, all sorts of everyday products are now being made from the materials you've been recycling. But to keep recycling working, you also need to buy products made from recycled materials. So the next time you're shopping, look for products that say made from recycled materials and buy them. And don't forget to support the recycling effort on November 15th, America Recycles Day. For a free brochure, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. Again, that's 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A public service message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense.
Hey, what's going on? 45 past the hour. Morning's edition, Air America Radio. That's Mark Riley there. I'm Mark Maron.
Hi.
We've got a bunch of calls lined up here. It looks like Elliot's number one on the list. Good morning, Elliot. What's up?
Hey, Elliot.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey. I wanted to talk about the incompetency of the Bush administration in asking for that $89 billion. You know, you have conservative talk show hosts saying that...
The $87
billion? $87
right.
It was $79 billion that in April, Senator Kerry passed and
right.
voted to fund in the initial funding. And there's nothing more aggravating than to hear these conservative commentators say Kerry voted for the war but against funding it when that's an absolute lie. Kerry did not vote against the $89 billion request.
He just wanted it. He wanted it to come out of money that repealing the tax cut to the wealthy.
To those who were earning $300,000 and above.
Right.
And this is a testament to President Bush's incompetency because he sent our troops into battle without sufficient body armor and without sufficient equipment. And that $89 billion should have been part of the original funding request in April. And he should have gone to war only after our troops were sufficiently equipped. And in the interim, we had no fly zones in Iraq. We had UN's weapons inspectors, and they could have been conducting greater inspections. And when we finally did get equipped, at that point in time, he should have canvassed the U.S. weapons inspectors, and we could have made a decision based upon the latest information as to whether or not they were able to uncover WMDs.
And also maybe after we'd addressed sufficiently the element of terrorism that was in Afghanistan, and as opposed to using terrorism as an excuse to attack Iraq. Thank you for your call, Elliot. Appreciate it. Eric in Miami, how are you?
Eric. Oh, no. You know what? I think we got Mike. Mike?
In Buffalo?
Who's that?
How you doing, guys?
Who is this?
This is Mike in Buffalo.
Hey, Mike,
hey,
what's
Mike
going on?
In Buffalo, all right.
It's Sirius Radio, man.
All right, buddy.
Great stuff. Hey, listen, Mark, you're right. I'm a guitar player, and blues is easy to play. Anybody can do what Steve Ray Vaughan does.
Not that good. Not that good. But you don't have to be a masterful musician to kick out some good blues. I know, because I do it. Where's Mike? Is he still there?
Morning's edition, man. And you guys, you are even buying into the rhetoric that the Republicans are putting out that Kerry has taken several positions on the Iraq War. He hasn't. Just like your last caller said, he's been completely consistent. And now I know why we're down in the polls, because even you guys, who are as informed as I am, are buying into it. I mean, what is this? He hasn't been inconsistent. He hasn't taken several positions on the war. He's been completely consistent on the war.
Yeah, well, okay, well, let me ask you a question. I agree with you. I wasn't saying that he was inconsistent on the war. It's just that he has said many things about the war, and he's having a hard time, you know, focusing on one statement. I think that he should just say, look, the war was a mistake. That's it. We need to get out as quick as possible. Period.
I mean, you know, you're right. I mean, here comes that bad nuance where, God forbid, our politicians are able to actually think about what they're doing and talk about, you know, the minutiae of it. I mean, come on. It's a very important thing. We should know exactly where the politicians stand and you know, about the details of it. And he's trying to put that out. He's trying to tell you exactly what he thinks. And yet when he tells you that, people say, oh, he's, you know, he's too intellectual about it. He's thinking about it too much. He's giving us too much information.
No, for
and
what?
It drives me crazy when people say that.
No, I don't believe that's true, though, because I like listening to him talk, and I like when he goes on, and I think he's got a great intellectual mind. It's just that for me, I've got to do some deductive reasoning in terms of, like, the way he said that, you know, he voted to give the president authority to go into Iraq, you know, with congressional approval and with the help of the United Nations, and being that is not the way they did it, I have to extrapolate from that and say that Kerry believes the war was a mistake. That's what I believe. I would like to hear John Kerry say the war was a mistake.
Right. Well, you know what? But if the minute he does that, he loses. I mean, this is like 50-50, guys. And the minute he says that, he loses. How many percent? You know, that's it. Game over.
No,
he can say that.
Right. To his credit, though, he said it was the wrong word. And I'm with you, and I'm 100% behind Kerry. And if it came off that I was, saying something like I was giving in to something,
right.
I wasn't. I was sort of quoting an Alexander Coburn piece that he said because of the many angles, whether they're intellectual or not, that Kerry has taken on the war, it becomes hard for him to just say declarative, simple statements about the war.
Right. That's cool. I mean, I know you're informed. I know where you guys stand. I listen to you every morning. But it did come across that way, and I guess just clarifying it here, you know, that's cool.
Okay, no, I certainly appreciate your call, Mike.
Buffalo. By the way, a city that has been savaged economically over the last 4 years. They didn't even have enough money I think it was last school year, to get their schools all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And unbelievable.
Yeah, I just don't want to be misunderstood like that. You know, this is a very difficult thing about where we are, is that, you know, of course we're 100% behind, you know, Kerry. Of course we want Bush out of office. And of course, you know, I don't want to be like my friend Jim said, you know, buck up and get on board. I'm on board. But sometimes I fluctuate on the stop whining, let's start winning thing, because there's some simplicity that the war was wrong, and I believe that's what Kerry believes. It's just sometimes when he gets on an intellectual jag like this guy said, and certainly I like that about Kerry, it's hard to figure out exactly, you know, what he's saying.
It's that whole nuance thing, Mark. It's because Kerry is a thoughtful person, the same thoughtful person that you described,
yeah,
that his position on this issue gets clouded and gets vague for people. That's all it is.
Okay, well, I guess it got clouded and vague for me, too. But, Mike, we got the liberal agenda coming up. We'll take one or two more calls. I appreciate you being here, folks. It's 51 past the hour. Hair America Radio.
I think today, in particular, women have a tremendous amount that they're carrying around, men and women.
Windy Light for the doctor's night guard dental protector.
I own a flower shop. I have a lot on my plate. I grind my teeth very, very, very badly. I clench, I grind. The doctor's night guard took care of that. You know, we have the weight of the world on our shoulders. We don't need the weight of the world in our mouths.
Relieve the nightly grind with the doctor's night guard in the oral care section.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But Barron's, America's premier financial weekly, can help you make money whichever way the market moves. Now you can get 13 weeks of Barron's plus the valuable guide to building wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call now, 800-858-5800. That's 800-858-5800 for Barron's.
Serious
NFL Radio, Channel 124, is all football all the time. Hear breaking NFL news and scores 24 hours a day, along with exclusive interviews.
Let's talk football. Let's talk football.
Commentary and analysis from top players and coaches. All-star staff includes Shannon Sharp, Chris Carter, Dan Reeves, John Riggins, and Keyshawn Johnson. When it's the NFL you want, it's the NFL you can't get. NFL Radio, 124.
Wash off the blackboard. Put away the books. Take down the posters.
Put away the gym balls.
Empty out our desks.
Scrape our names off the lockers.
Pull our drawings off the walls.
Put it all in the garbage.
Throw it away.
Throw it all away.
AIDS has killed more children worldwide than there are in all the grade schools in New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Washington, Atlanta, and Miami combined. The time to do something is now. The place is apathyislethal.org. AIDS is preventable. Apathy is lethal.
A public service announcement brought to you by the United Nations Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Steve Earle. There was a time when I believed that getting high enhanced my creativity. After all, I wrote some pretty good songs back then, in between finding drugs and taking drugs and finding means to get more. Then 9 years ago, I got clean. Since then, I've written 150 songs, 400 poems, 11 short stories, a play, a dozen articles and essays, and I'm working on a novel. So much for that theory.
This has been a message from MAP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Five past the hour. Mark Riley, how you doing?
All right, man. I'm doing all right.
Mark Maron here, Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. What I want Kerry to say and what I think he is saying, if I can, you know, sort of, you know, render down, you know, his thinking about it, is that, you know, the war in Iraq was a mistake, and I'm going to fix it. The truth of the matter is that, like, in my head, as soon as all the senators found out that there were no weapons of mass destruction there, everybody who voted for that war, because of that, should have said, dude, this really could have waited. You know? That's just the whole thing. It's like, it shouldn't be that difficult. It was a mistake. Now, as president, I'm going to try to right it.
And remember that at the time this vote was taken, it wasn't voting for a war. It was voting to give Bush the authorization with proper advice and consent from the United Nations and with a coalition of people to actually use force.
Right, and they put on this Armageddon dog and pony show for the United Nations, for everyone else, with vials and diagrams and everything else.
And the yellow cake allegations.
Oh, God. Let me just take this call because I want to address this. Eric, how are you? What's going on?
Hey, Eric.
You good? Yeah,
what's
how are you doing this morning?
Right, good. What's on your mind?
First, let me say, the first thing is, as an African-American, it disappoints me. The only senator I admired during the whole discussion was a former Klansman, Senator Byrd.
Senator Byrd, yeah, I know.
Exactly.
Moral guy.
Yeah.
And
heck of a paradox, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm a little conflicted here.
But he's a guy that learned from his experience and made different choices for himself.
Yeah, he changed his mind.
He was born again like Bush was supposed to be. Wait, sorry.
Oh, no.
I didn't mean to go there.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, I don't want to be the second call in a row to say that you're doing something that the idiots who are running the country are doing. But sometimes I listen to you every morning, and sometimes you go and you lump all of Islam and all of Muslims together. I'm a Muslim, and one of the things that you have to remember that Islam isn't a violent religion by any stretch.
Oh, yeah, I know that. I try to. I'm sorry if I did that. Usually I go out of my way to make, you know, to differentiate, because I don't want to mock the myths that define people, you know, and I certainly don't want to not appreciate the nuances of each one. I try to make specific that if it's radical Islamists or if they're radical Christians, I try to do that. And if I didn't do that today, I certainly apologize. There's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound, and here are your marching orders for today. One, give your children Play-Doh and tell them, sculpt what the Iraq War means to you. 2, condemn Britney Spears' marriage to dancer Kevin Federline as gay bashing. Okay. 3, ask Iraqi insurgents to use only hybrid energy vehicles for car bombs. 4, raise money for Southern poetry zines who missed deadlines because of the recent hurricanes. And 5, today's phrase is drop it into conversation, quote, here are my Emmy Awards, best comedy, the 9/11 hearings. Yeah, you heard me, end quote. Who we got tomorrow, man?
John Kerry has a plan to improve health care for America. CNN won't tell you what it is, so we'll have to do it. If you really do care about the issues, join us for tomorrow's Mornings Edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good day, Marin.
You too, Riley.